ஜெயம் விஷுபால பரமஹம்ச பரிபிராஜகாச்சாரியா அஷ்டோத்தர சதஸ்ரீ ஸ்ரீமான் அபய சரணாரவிந்த பக்திவேதாந்த கோஸ்வாமி மகாராஜ் ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாதிக்கு ஜெயம். நித்யலீலா பிரவிஷ்டா விஷ்ணுபால பரமஹம்ச பரிபிராஜகாச்சாரியா அஷ்டோத்தர சதஸ்ரீ ஸ்ரீமான் பக்தி சித்தாந்த சரஸ்வதி மகாராஜ் ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாதிக்கு அனந்தகோடி வைஷ்ணவ பிருந்தக்கு நாமாச்சாரிய ஸ்ரீல ஹரிதாஸ் டாக்கூர்க்கு பிரேம் சகோ ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதார ஸ்ரீவாசாதி கௌரபக்த பிருந்தக்கு ஸ்ரீ ஸ்ரீ ராதா கிருஷ்ண கோப கோபிநாத ஷியாமகுண்ட ராதா குண்டகிரி கோவர்தானிக்கு விருந்தாவன் தாம்கி மாயப்பூர் தாம்கி மதுரபுரி தாம்கி ஜெகநாத் புரி தாம்கி துவாரகாபுரி தாம்கி கங்கமாய்க்கு யமுனாமாய்க்கு துளசி தேவிக்கு பக்தி தேவிக்கு சாமவேத பக்த பிருந்தக்கு கௌர் பிரேமானந்தே. ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் டு அசம்பிள் டிபோட்டிஸ், ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் டு அசம்பிள் டிபோட்டிஸ், ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் டு அசம்பிள் டிபோட்டிஸ், ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ், ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் டு ஸ்ரீ குரு அண்ட் ஸ்ரீ கௌரங்கா, ஆல் க்ளோரிஸ் டு ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாத். நமாம்ஸ்வபதாய கிருஷ்ணபிரஸ்தாய பூதலே ஸ்ரீமதே பக்தி வேதாந்த சுவாமினி நாமினி நமஸ்தே சரஸ்வதி தேவி கௌரவாணி பிரச்சாரிணி நிர்விசேஷூன்யவாதி பாஷாத்ய தேசதாரிணி. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய, ஓம் பார்த்தாய பிரதிபோதிதாம் பகவதாம் நாராயணேன ஸ்வயம் வியாசேன க்ரதிதாம் புராண முனிநாம் மத்யே மகாபாரதம் அத்வைதாமிரதவர்ஷிணி பகவதி அஷ்டாதசாத்யாயினி அம்பத்வாமனுசந்ததாமி பகவத்கீதே பவத்வேஷிணி. நமோஸ்துதே வியாச விஷால புத்தே புல்லாரவிந்தாயத பத்ர நேத்ர ஏன த்வயா பாரத தைலபூர்ண பிரஜ்வாலிதோ ஜானமய பிரதீப பிரபன்ன பாரிஜாதாய தோத்ர வேத்ரைக வாணயே ஞானமுத்ராய கிருஷ்ணாய கீதாமிரத துஹே நம. சர்வோபனிஷதோ காவோ தோக்தா கோபால நந்தன பார்த்தோ வல்ச சுதீர்போக்தா துக்தம் கீதாமிருதம் மஹத் வசுதேவ சுதம் தேவம் கம்சச்சானூரமர்தனம் தேவகீ பரமானந்தம் கிருஷ்ணம் வந்தே ஜகத்குரும். பீஷ்மத்ரோணதடா ஜயத்ரத ஜலா காந்தார நீலோல்பல சல்யக்ராஹவதி கிருபேண வஹனி கர்ணேன வேலாகுல அஸ்வத்தாமா விகர்ண கோரமகர துரியோதனாவர்த்தினி சோதீர்ண கலு பாண்டவைரணநதி கைவர்த்தக கேசவ பாராசரியவஜ சரோஜமலம் கீதார்த்தகந்தோல்கடம் நானாக்கியானகேசரம் ஹரிகதா சம்போதனாபோதிதம் லோகை சஜ்ஜனஷல்பதைரஹரஹ பேபீயமானம் முதா பூயாத் பாரத பங்கஜக்கலிமல பிரத்வம்சின ஸ்ரேயசே மூகம் கரோதி வாஜாலம் பங்கும் லங்கயதே கிரிம் எல்கிருபாதமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம் யம் பிரம்மா வருணேந்திர ருத்ரமருதஸ்துவன் வந்தி திவ்யை ஸ்தவைர் வேதை சாங்கபதை கிரம உபனிஷதேர் காயந்தியம் சமகாஹ தியானாவஸ்தித தத்கதேன மனசா பஷ்யந்தியம் யோகினோ யஸ்யாந்தம் ந விதுசுரா சுரகணை தேவாய தஸ்மை நம. சர்வத்ர கோவிந்த நாம சங்கீர்த்தனம் கோவிந்த கோவிந்த. So, Arjuna, having heard from Krishna, Prakritistopi Purusham Gunjan Prakritijer Gunan Karanam Gunasangasya Sadasayoni Janmasu. Krishna told Arjuna, with all these Prakriti and Purusha, when Purusha enters into Prakriti, Purusha means our real self, Andaryami, when it gets into Prakriti, Bunjan Prakritir Gunan, he gets affected by the modes of nature. And due to that, what happened? Karanam Gunasangasya Sadasad Yoni Janmasu. Because of that, this Purusha inside, Andaryami, has gone into Prakriti, and in the result of that is Gunasangasya Sad Asad Yonishu, Janma Yonishu, Sadasad Janma Yonishu. He will take birth in different different species, different types of bodies he will come in this world. It will keep on repeating. So when Krishna said that words, Arjuna asked this question, that if this Sangam with Prakriti is responsible for the reason, or for the, it is the cause of samsara, material existence, for the Purusha, that due to this association with the Prakriti, if that is the cause of samsaram, which of the three gunam is responsible for this? Right? Which are these gunams? And how does that gunam binds the Purusha? This was the question. How does the gunam bind the Purusha? And how can one become free from the gunam? And what are the symptoms of someone who has become free from the gunam? All these comes to Arjuna's mind. Arjuna raises all these points to Krishna. And it is answer to that Krishna began this chapter. So you can see the connection between the last chapter and this one, 13 and the 14th. It is coming from that verse. Prakritistobhi purushan bhunjan prakriti jargunan karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmasu. Famous verse. Prabhupada used to quote that verse. Particularly, people ask this question always, that why we have different types of bodies. Krishna said that's the answer. Karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmasu. Different types of bodies is because of three modes of nature. Association with the three modes of nature is responsible for different types of bodies. Otherwise, where is the answer for that question? Which scripture or which science is telling us why we get different types of bodies? So, Sri Bhagavan Vajam, Param Bhuya Pravakshami Jnananam Jnanam Uttamam Yal Jnatva Muniya Sarve Param Siddhimidho Gadaha. Then, even though this topic has been discussed many times before in previous chapters, Krishna says, this knowledge which is higher of all the knowledges, I will go to talk about that. And all the rishis, he says, after death, they got themselves liberated through this process. So, because it is spoken about Brahmavidya, which is the ultimate knowledge of all knowledges in the world, therefore, and because, why? Because it is giving you the ultimate benefit to anyone, getting free from the modes of nature. Therefore, this knowledge is the highest knowledge, Krishna says. Brahmavidya is the highest knowledge of all. All other knowledge is not considered even knowledge. Krishna considers them as avidya mostly. Because if you ignore this knowledge and cultivate all other kinds of knowledge, it's only increasing the avidya inside. Jnananam idita amanitvadinam hitarhi yajnadi jnaya vastu vishayanam idi. Amanitum, adambitum, all Krishna has spoken. They are all the sadhana process towards this knowledge. And yajnam, yagam, homam, one should know about those things, what is spoken in the karmakandam. But none of them, he says, is a vehicle for liberation. For liberation. What I am going to now tell you, Arjuna, Krishna says, is the process for liberation. And in order to create a taste for this knowledge, to develop some taste in the listener's mind, for that purpose, Krishna has used those words, paramam, uttamam, and all that in these words, you see. Jnananam, jnanam, uttamam. And then he said, yajnato muniya sarvi param siddhi vidho gadaha. So these words like paramam, uttamam, and all that, he has used only for one reason, so that the people who are reading this chapter, they become serious about it. Not to take it in a casual way, because of its value, the importance of that. Yeah? And he also mentions there that this muni means rishis, who have developed this thoughtful nature, thinking power, who have got this thinking power, and they have practiced this knowledge. And similarly, sannyasis also, they have also become released from the bondage of this modes of nature. And from the bondage of this body, they got liberated and they have also reached a higher destination. That's how Krishna puts it there. यज्ञात्वा यज्ञानं ज्ञात्वा प्राप्य मुनयः सन्यासिनां मननशीलाः. कृष्ण कीप सेइंग दिस दैट इफ दिस नॉलेज इज नॉट properly contemplated or properly mananam, if it is not done, then you won't get any benefit from this. If you simply make it as say information into the main and brain and the mind, then it is of no use. It is only particularly meant for contemplation. That means through mananam we have to take out that avidya inside us, what we have given God from the society, from the university, and from the parents, and from everybody else. All that avidya what is inside, you have to replace that with this knowledge. That means we have to talk to ourselves all the time. Repeatedly, that's mananam. Repeatedly, what Krishna is saying, accepting that within, and change our understanding, like we talked about karmam yesterday, in the same way. Kartrutvam, karmam and all is not there in us. This is all came from svabhavam. Svabhavam created that mentality in us, that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, I must get the result. And so, where this all these impurities have come to us? It came from svabhavam. By doing karmam and completely absorbing in karmam and taking karmam as the highest priority in life, and to think that I have done this and I am getting the results, all this is avidya, Krishna says. All that is avidya. Till we get rid of all that conceptions from our head and replace it with what Krishna is saying, this knowledge will not be of any use to us. Knowledge is not helping. If you don't change that thinking, that mindset, that karmam is important, karmam is important. Everybody tells you that, karmam is important. Parents start with that. University, college, schools, they all teach you, work is worship, this, that and the other, all kinds of nonsense they have spoken. And Krishna is saying, karma is an impurity in you, it is not in the Swarupam. It makes sense, because if Satta Chitta Anandam is a nature of consciousness, of the soul, where is the relevance of karma in that? Why karma has been banged on like this into our head? And then we bang it on to others' head as well. And we call that, if you are good at karmam, you are rewarded for that. Krishna is saying that, nadate kasajil papam, na jaiva karmanam vibhu. Ajnana avrutam jnanam, tena mukhyanti jandava. Only jandus think like that, he says. That means when you are a jandu, jandu means animal. When you are an animal, you may think like that. But tena mukhyanti jandava, why? Because of the illusion that has crept into your head, maya. Ajnanenavrutam jnanam. Why? Jnanam is already there, every one of us, because Swarupam is jnanam. Swarupam means jnanam. Jnanam is already there. Why? Ajnanenavrutam jnanam. Ajnanam has covered that. Because of that, you are thinking like this. And that Krishna said that before. In the same way here, Krishna is also saying this. That asyajasite aigandiyatvam darshayati. So, after that we mentioned yesterday, that while talking about this, that Sri Shuka Brahmarshi mentioned the same thing in the Bhagavadam, is it not? You remember? In the second canto, in the second chapter, what did he say to us? So he began Bhagavadam with that knowledge, with this knowledge. Krishna is, Sri Shuka Brahmarshi is saying that. Satyam Kshidav Kim Kashipo Prayase Bahau Sasade Ubabarhane Kim Satyanjalav Kim Purudhana Vatrayam Digvalkalado Sadikim Dukulei. He says, when there is land to lie down, why do you need a bed? When the hand is there as a pillow, why do you require a pillow, separate pillow? And when you have got the hands to collect the food, why do you need a pot? And similarly, all the barks of the trees are available, why do you need clothing? He is saying this in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, when he started speaking. Yeah. Just to tell us that the satisfying the needs of the body is not important. Till we understand this message seriously, it is very difficult to make any sense of what Krishna is saying otherwise. To get this point across, first thing is this vairagyam. Freedom from this body, freedom from the mind, freedom from the senses. Then, chiranikim padina santi dishanti bhiksham, naivangripam paribhada saridopya shushyan, yuddha guha kimichito vadi nopasanan, tasmat bhajandi kavayo dhana dhurmadam dhan. He says, there is always some clothes lying on the ground somewhere. You can pick it up and wear that if you want. And has the stops, trees and plants have stopped giving fruits? Are they not giving you fruits to eat? Are you not happy with that, to live in this world? Has the rivers all dried up? Is there water still not flowing in the river? And then he says, Ruddha guhan kimijidobi nobasanan, kasmat bhajandi kavayo dhana dhurmadhandhan. Has Krishna stopped giving shelter to those who have taken his shelter? Has he stopped giving shelter to them? So, why do you have to go and serve dhana dhurma dhandhan, all these institutions and organizations that you have to serve them to get your salary every month? Why do you have to do this, he's saying. So, you have to understand where this is coming from. Shuka Brahmarshi is saying, Krishna is saying to us, and the rishis are completely clear about all these things. If we don't accept all these things, there is no spiritual progress going to happen, because message is very clear, Krishna is saying, right? So, the point is this, that this understanding that the knowledge of the soul, it is already available to us. It is there in us. Swarupam means this all knowledge, what Krishna is speaking, is already present inside us. Yeah. But then, knowing that, why not be happy in life, peaceful about it? And of course, if your prarabdham is to live in this world as a rich person, you can sit like that, there is nothing wrong. Or if your prarabdham is to live as a very poor person in this world, for both the rich person and for the poor person, this rule applies. This doesn't change, right? So, Shastram never said that only rich people will go to the spiritual world, or only poor people will go to the spiritual world, right? That's why in Bhagavadam, they bring all different types of personalities. They brought Ambarish to tell us that a rich person can also realize the truth. Truth is equal to everybody, rich man or poor man. It doesn't make any difference. He was an emperor, he was a jnani, he was a devotee, and he was Brahmanishta, established in Brahman. King Janaka was also remained as a king throughout his life, but as Shiva Brahmashi glorified him in the Bhagavadam, Atma Vidya Visharada, he says, being an king in Mithila, and still he was a Atma Vidya Visharada. In Brahma Vidya, he was on the top. Atma Vidya Visharada, he says. And all those great personalities. So, it's not that only poor, rich people can make it, or poor people can make it. Anybody can make it. It's open to all. And then he said that, Similarly, Janaka was a jnani, Ambarish was a jnani, Sudama was also a jnani. So, Sudama didn't have enough money, food to eat even daily. But he was a jnani. Therefore, he said, Krishna syasil sakakaschil brahmano brahmavitama virakta indriyarteshu prashanda Prashandalpa Jitendriya about him. Shukha Brahmarshi says. So you have to go know what Shukha Brahmarshi is saying about these people. And then you get an understanding of what spiritual life is. Shukha Brahmarshi is saying whether you are Ambarish or whether you are Janaka or whether you are Sudama, it's all the same. In your Sobhavam, there will be differences. Sobhavam means your Prarabdham is Sobhavam and your life in this world is all Sobhavam. But in your Swarupam, there is no difference at all. They are all same. So knowing the Swarupam and conducting Vyavaharam in the Swabhavam. But you have to know the Swarupam first. Otherwise, you will be stuck in the Swabhavam. Whole life will go through the Swabhavam. That's what he's saying here. So, in that chapter, Sudama's chapter, you'll see, Shriyapadi, Krishna is Shriyapadi, Mahalakshmi's husband. And the very poor person, Sudama, and this very rich person, Krishna, both of them, they are talking to each other. So, Krishna asking Sudama, that how come you are so peaceful? You don't have anything. Krishna knows this situation, right? Krishna is asking Sudama, how come you are so peaceful in life, right? And and I have got all things which create disturbances in my life, Krishna says. A huge family and all fighting each other, Yadavas fighting each other. And being a king there, in as Ugrasena's helping him. So, Krishna says that, I've got everything. Every comfort what you can think of. I lie in the ocean on top of a snake, and at my feet there is Mahalakshmi massaging my feet. And with all that, Yoga Nidra, he is in Yoga Nidra Jagatpade. He is sleeping very well. Krishna sleeps very well with all that thing. So Krishna says, I am very peaceful. Sudama says that I am also very peaceful. Krishna says, I am very peaceful. Sudama says, I am also very peaceful. Right? So how come they both of them were peaceful? Both are two entirely different situations. How come they were both peaceful? There, Krishna is answering that our guru, our spiritual master, Sandivani Muni, has done some magic with us, he says. This is Krishna's way of saying, right? What was that? He put both of us in our Swarupam. That's what he has done. In other words, what Krishna is saying, this true story is trying to get us this message to us, that you can have only shanti in life if you are in the Swarupam, not in the Swabhavam. Swabhavam, you won't get shanti. It is in Swarupam, shanti is the source of shanti is Swarupam. Yeah. So therefore, he said that due to that special mercy, Guror Anagrahe Naiva Puman Purna Prashandaye, the word Krishna has used in that chapter. Guror Anagrahe Naiva. Krishna gives that credit to Sandivani Maharshi for putting Krishna as well as Sudama in that state of self-realized state of the Swarupam, in the Swarupam. He says, he has put us both in that state of Swarupam. Therefore, Guru Anugrahe Naiva, what has happened? Purna Prashandaye, we have become perfect in Shandi. Purna Prashandaye. Purnatvam is only in the Swarupam. Purnatvam is not in the Swabhavam. That's the thing to understand. Purnatvam is only in the Swarupam. Purnatvam is not in the Swabhavam. Krishna is saying that. Guru Anugrahe Naiva Puman Purna Prashande. Purnatvam comes to us. Purnatvam means what? Freedom from the Swabhavam. That is Purnatvam. Identification with the Swarupam. Right? So, Puman Purna Prashandaye. There is, you will see the same conversation between Ashtavakra Maharshi and Janaka also. द सेम थिंग कुदश्चित कौशलं देव परमात्मा विलोक्यते दे आस्क किंग जनका द सेम क्वेश्चन दैट इन द मिडिल ऑफ ऑल दिस रनिंग एडमिनिस्ट्रेशन एंड दिस किंगडम हाउ कम यू आर सो पीसफुल अबाउट इट He says, I don't know, my Guru Maharaj has given me some mercy. And in that mercy, I see only Krishna's presence everywhere, nothing else. So, due to that, that is the benefit of self-realization. That whatever you are doing in this world, that's all in the Swabhavam. But they are place themselves in the Swarupam. Swarupam, Swabhavam. These two things, one has to be very clearly know about that, right? So, so Janaka said that, even though I have to do a lot of vyavaharam in this world, it does not affect me. It does not affect me, he said, because I am not in the Swabhavam, I am in the Swarupam. So able to stay in Swarupam and to do Vyavaharam, that is the success. That is the able to success, right? All these things, the rishis have spoken to us in a parambara way. These messages come through so many personalities, right? So, Krishna is saying that, that knowledge, what the rishis have handed over, for generation after generation, and which came through with so many generations, which has stayed in this world, Krishna says, I am going to talk about that. And that's that first verse. Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Param Bhuya Pravakshyami, Yananam Yanam Uttamam, Yel Yatva Muneya Sarve, Param Siddhimito Gadaham. That, he said that this Yanam, what is the benefit? Benefit is that if you got this, the munis, the munis are saying this is the ultimate perfection, siddhi, right? And this is the greatest of all the siddhi. Siddhi means perfection. And not the siddhi what you see outside in the world or a magic. What is that siddhi? Perfection inside. You see, normally people in this world, they are looking for something. That is why we are trying so many different things, isn't it? Some dissatisfaction is inside us, imperfection inside us. We keep on going looking for knowledge, keep on looking for happiness. All these are symptoms of our imperfection inside. Our desire to go into the world looking for happiness, looking for perfection, looking for knowledge, looking for some kind of sense enjoyment. Why is this in us so much? Want to go on holidays, want to go here, go there, want to find something that will make me happy. Because ultimately I'm looking for happiness. When I'm looking for happiness, what that means is I am imperfect. Krishna is saying, by your very nature, if you are in your Swarupam, it is perfect. There is no need for anything else from outside to make you happy. But the fact that we are going out in the world looking for happiness in some form or the other is an indication that we are not in our Swarupam. We are in the Swabhav. That's the proof of that. That and our society says, oh, you should fly everywhere, all over the world. And we have more flights now, more airports and more traveling now. Why? Because that's what the society is teaching us. Krishna is saying to us, that if you are in your Swarupam, you won't be running around like this all over the world. There is no need for that. Because the very nature of the Antaryami is perfect. He doesn't need anything from outside to make himself happy because his very nature is Anandam. Sat Chita Anandam. That is his very nature. So what does he need from outside? Nothing. He doesn't need anything from outside. But because we are not perfect, we are stuck in the Swabhavam. Therefore, we are making plans to develop more economic development, sense gratification, all kinds of various types of things what we do, exploit the nature, exploit others. All this is coming from this problem. That because the knowledge is not there of the Swarupam of the Antaryami inside, therefore we are looking for perfection elsewhere, outside in the world. And then any amount of knowledge you get from the world, you are not perfect. You are still looking for something else. You get something and then you feel it's not complete itself. So Krishna is saying that Purnatvam, that perfection which you never lose again, that's a type of perfection inside, he said. And Krishna says that I will remove that cover of ignorance and show you that. And Krishna also said that this chapter in Bhagavad Gita is saying that also is a very confidential thing. Gukhyatamam it is. Shastram, this Shastram is Gukhyatamam. Yeah. Gukhyatamam means, you know what that means. Gukhyatamam means that it is most confidential. It is. Because these three modes of nature, Gunatrayam they are called. Three modes of nature is called Gunatrayam. And it is a confidential thing. Why? This is the chapter which tells you how to cross the three modes of nature. How to get over the three modes of nature. And when the mind is working, when the senses are working, and according to your prarabdham, whatever comes in life, and you are doing your vyavaharam in this world, not getting stuck in any of that, that will go on its own way. The mind will work its own way, senses will demand certain things, and senses will work in its own way. And according to your prarabdham, you will get all that. And the vyavahara will also go on along with that, right? But instead of getting caught up in any of those things, how one stays in this world, which he spoke about in the second chapter, Sthita Prajnatvam, right? Sthita Prajnatvam. And that Sthita Prajnatvam, Sthita Prajna's secret is this getting over the three modes of nature. Yeah. And Arjuna asked a question about the Sthita Prajna, isn't it? Sthita Prajna se ka bhasha, samadhisthasya keshava. He is asking Krishna, Arjuna asking Krishna, what is the nature of Sthita Prajna? And that answer is in this chapter, right? And that's what Krishna is going to talk about it from now on. That when you come out of these three modes of nature, you become a Sthita Prajna. You become a Sthita Prajna, right? So that's what he is saying here. That he says, one thing, the way you can see, Krishna says, Param Bhuya Pravakshyami, means Bhuya Pravakshyami. I'll say once again, he says. In other words, I'll keep saying this to you again and again and again, the same thing, but if you're asking this question, again I will tell you the answer, he said. Because if you keep repeating this, you will get the strength from that, the conviction from that. It's not knowledge for the mind and the intelligence. It is for us to get convinced, as the knowledge has to have some impact inside us. Yeah. So, like in the Ayurvedam also, there are certain medicines. They say if you keep repeating it, purify it again and again, 5 times, 25 times, 101 times, 1001 times, like that you purify the medicines are mixed with the milk and then it's kept boiling, right? And then when it cools down, again pour milk and boil it again. In this way it is repeated 5 times, 25 times, 51 times, 101 times. As you increase it, the price will go up for that. But those medicines are very effective. Some of those medicines, right? So why is it like that? Because if you keep repeating it, the strength will increase. That is the principle. If you keep repeating it, the strength will increase. Brahmavidya is also like that. Brahmavidya is also like that, yeah? So, and in the Brahma Sutra, Vedavyasa Maharshi says, Avarti Asakrat Upadeshad, one of the sutram. In the Brahma Sutram is Avarti Asakrat Upadeshad. He says, in the Brahma Sutram, he says, one satyam, that satyam, Rishis keep on repeating. Rishis are keeping on repeating that. And they will talk about it in different ways. But the Satyam is one. Truth is one, spoken in different ways. And again you are doing Shravanam, continuously listening to it again and again. And from different directions you are hearing about the same truth, from different sources, right? And you can see, last 25 years, we are also talking about the same thing. In Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, you are hearing the same one truth. There is nothing else we have got to say. The same what is Krishna has spoken there, right? So, and then if you say the same people are hearing, and if you ask what have you heard, says, I can't remember anything. This is our situation. Can't remember anything, what we heard, right? So, and therefore, what he said here, avartito, avartanam, repeating again, till you say you heard it, till it is coming, right? Right? So, if you look into the Brahma Sudhi, Brahma says this, how important it is to repeat, yeah? If you look at the 10th canto, in the 13th chapter, Sri Shuka Vacha 13.2 Satamayam Sarabhradam Nisargo Yadarthavani Shuichedasam Api Pradikshanam Navyavadachudasyal Striyavidanami Vasathu Vartha. People who are interested in sense gratification, like you can see, this is everybody knows these things. Sriya vidanam iva sadhu vartha. Men who are interested in talking about women, when they get together, they will talk about women. It's always there in the office, in workplaces, everywhere you will sign. And all our serials and movies and everything is centered around this principle. Sriya vidanam iva sadhu vartha. That they have only one thing to talk about, right? Similarly, sadamayam sarabhradam nisargo yad arthavani shruti chedasam abhi. About Krishna also, it is like that, he says. If you keep talking about Krishna, every moment some new realization comes from that. And therefore, Krishna's words becomes much more sweet, more and more when you talk about it. From that, a freshness comes from that by repeating what Krishna has spoken. That's what Shobhramarshi says there when in this 13th chapter. Yeah. He says, Shobhramarshi says to Parikshit, Sadamayam Sarabhradam Nisargo Yadarthavani Shruti Chedasam Api. Yeah. Again and again, when you hear that, what happens is something new happens inside. Some better understanding of Krishna's instructions comes, right? And in all of us, right? In the views of the Bhagavadam, our heart or Hridayam, not the mechanical heart, where Antaryami is present. That is actually the I, right? This physical I is not considered to be I. This physical I is only capable of seeing this world. The deeper things in the Shastram is seen by the Hrit, Antaryami inside. When Antaryami reveals to us the knowledge of the soul, Antaryami reveals to us, and therefore through Antaryami only, with Antaryami's help, you realize the truth. So therefore, in Shastram, this I is not given importance. This I is given importance. Antaryami is also I, Because Antaryami reveals the knowledge to us. Antaryami shows us the truth. Therefore, Antaryami is also an eye. Like this eye is showing us this world, so eye is considered to be important for us. But this eye is not capable of showing the truth to us. Antaryami is capable of showing the truth to us. Therefore, Antaryami is considered to be another eye. And that eye, he is saying here, it is through that eye that you get to know the truth. Through eye called Antaryami inside, right? So, and you can see that it is this Antaryami through the mind, because of Antaryami through the mind, in the dream state you are seeing things. Yeah? In the vacant state, you are seeing with these eyes. But in the dream state, these eyes are closed and you are still seeing. Is it not? You are still seeing. And how that, where that power coming from? Able to see things in the dream state. That's Antaryami. So, it is not only this physical eye is capable of showing you something. Physical eye can show you the objects in this world. More than that, nothing it can do. You remember, Kathopanishad said, it is all open outwardly only. It is not capable of showing anything inside us. Antaryami is capable of showing things inside us. What it is. That is what he is saying here. So, when we see things in the dream state, right, who is seeing? Antaryami is seeing. Antaryami is giving you the Antaryami is giving you the vision to see things, right? So, therefore, that Antaryami, which is Atma, which is us, actually, what we are, which is our Swarupam, and another times it's called as Prajna, that's what it is. Who is seeing then? Antaryami is seeing. Krishna himself is seeing that, as Antaryami inside. He is seeing that. He is seeing everything all the time, right? This, we have put so much into these two eyes, seeing that these are the most important things, these eyes. But these eyes are not capable of showing us that thing, the inside, what is happening. So therefore, prajna netro vai lokaha, Krishna is seeing everything through the eye. Krishna is seeing everything. Krishna is hearing everything. And He is present in everyone's heart and He is hearing everything, what is going on inside us, right? And that is Bhagavata Dharma. That is Bhagavata Dharma. Bhagavata Dharma is to make us aware that this physical eyes is not of much importance. It can help you only to see the objects in the world, do your vyavaharam in this world. Only for that purpose. Beyond that, it is all useless. Inward looking is not possible through these eyes. Inward looking is done through Antaryami. So, Antaryami is the... similarly, Antaryami hears everything. These ears normally hear everything, mundane things. It does not have any more effect from that. And it goes to... it has its effect on us in the form of different emotions, what happens to us. Yeah. But an Antaryami listens from inside, and if Antaryami wants to reveal to you and change your swabhavam, it can happen. That's the only way it can happen, right? So, therefore it says that, suppose we are speaking, I'm speaking, you are listening, it's not necessary that it will have its necessary result from that. Yeah. So, when we, of course, the demand, requirement in order to have its complete effect in a person, the speaker has to be a realized person. One requirement is that. Speaker has to be realized. The second requirement is that the listener must have developed all the qualities necessary for Shravanam, so that when he listens, immediately the effect will be there. The effect will be there, right? And when the person listening realizes that he is not different from the speaker, the listener realizes that he is not different from the speaker, when that happens, this knowledge comes to the listener. Because there the duality has gone, dvaitam has gone in that way. So, and self-realization will happen. In our situation now, neither side is perfect. Speaker is not realized, the listener also has not qualified, but still we have to discuss these things so that we understand that why we are where we are now, why we are not making any success in spiritual path, right? So when you keep on hearing this knowledge repeatedly, again and again, right, and hearing about Krishna's words and knowledge of the self, what happens is, it becomes like this, that you keep churning, the butter comes out from that. In the same way, he says, within your heart, this knowledge gets in, and it gets churned inside. It gets churned inside. And when it goes to properly churned inside, at that time, that Karna Nadi we spoke about before, from the ear to the heart, it gets opened. That's what we mentioned that before, didn't we? In the third canto, fifth chapter, 11th verse. Katratnuya tirthapado vidhanat satreshuva suribhir idhyamanat ya karna nadim purushasya yato bhava pradam geharatim chinati. It's a famous verse from Vidura. Vidura is saying to us that katratnuya tirthapado vidhanat satreshuva suribhir idhyamanat. When you keep on hearing this, what will happen is, your attraction for other things in the world goes away automatically, right? And due to your absorption in this topic of self-realization, yeah, and in the result of that is that it will get through this ear, and it will get inside to the heart, and attraction for family life will leave. Family life will go. The attraction for family life will leave us. Family life and all is a part of that Chijjada Granthi we talked about. Yeah? It is a part of that Chijjada Granthi. So, how to make that Chijjada Granthi loosen it further and further? So he's saying here that ya karna nadim purushasya yato bhava pradam geharatim chinati. Geharati means attraction for family life. Chinati, it will break. That attraction keeps going in this world, in everyone, isn't it? It's there in this world to have a desire for happiness from that. So, in other words, what he's saying is that This knowledge, when it goes in, it goes and touches inside in another plane altogether. And in that plane, our body, mind, personality, death, all these things don't exist. In Andaryami, the Andaryami is that plane. In that plane, body doesn't exist. Similarly, mind doesn't exist. Personality doesn't exist. Those things don't exist in the Andaryami, right? So, and there is no death either. And therefore, what is the nature of that? Chit Swarupam. Chit it is, right? And Ananda Swarupam, Shandi. And so Amrita Swarupi. So by nature we are eternal, blissful knowledge, sata, chitta, anandam, shanti, anandam. This is our nature. But due to the effect of this swabhavam, we trapped into that, and now we are feeling the suffering of all other problems of this world, right? So how does that happen? Vedam says so that when Krishna mentioned that, when we discussed the 11th canto, Ajaryorani Adhyasyal, Andeva Sutrarani, Talsandanam Pravachanam, Siddhya Santi Sukhavaha, Ekadasha Skandam. Remember when Krishna said that when this contact happens with the realized soul, Ajaryorani Adhyasyal, Andeva Sutrarani, the disciple is considered to be Uttararani and Purvarani, two arani. Arani is all the two pieces of wood with which you churn and create fire from that. So this is the way it has to happen. That Acharyorani Adhyasyal Andevas Uttararani, Uttararani and Purvarani, top one and the bottom one, when they come together and rub each other, from that the knowledge comes, he says. Right? Vidya Sandhi Sukhavaha. So Acharya is there and the disciple is still there, and there will be a connection happens between the two, and that is this pravachanam, vidyasanti sukhavaha. The one who is hearing that, he gets this vidya, that knowledge that comes from that contact between these two, Acharya and the disciple, between them. The fire comes, and that agni, when it comes out, and that agni is called the knowledge of the self. It's not the agni we are talking about, the ordinary agni. Why they say agni means it is so fiery, that Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya is so fiery, right? You will see the whole that chapter in Narayaniyam also summarized very nicely what happens to. In the Narayaniyam, he mentions that. Ajarya Khyadharastar, same thing that is in the Ekadasha Skandam. Malpatur says, Ajarya Khyadharastar Ani Samanumilam Shishyarubotarani Vedhol Bhasidena Sputatara Paribodagnina Dehyamani Karmali Vasanatal Kridatanubhuvanam Brandi Kandare Pure Dahya Abhavena Vidya Shikinija Virate Tunmai Khalyu Avastha. It's a good way of summarizing this whole 10th chapter, those verses. Melpatur says, how tatvajnanam comes to a person, how self-realization comes to someone, this is how it happens. Ajarya khyadharasal anirasam anumilam shishya rubo uttararani. Acharya is purvarani, shishya is uttararani. And when that churning happens, vedhul bhasidena Sputatara paribhodagdina dahyamani. The fire comes and starts burning. What happens in that process? All the karma vasana inside us get burned. Karmali vasanatal krita tanu bhuvana brandi kandare bhure dahya bhavene vidya shikhinija virade tunmayi khalyo avastha. So he mentions here that self-realized personalities, acharyas, right, in order to transmit this realization from Antaryami, Acharya's Antaryami, to the disciple, right? The Acharya is always in that state of self-realization state. And because he analyzed it again and again and again, this knowledge of Krishna's instructions, and he doesn't have to think about it further because he's already in that state. And just like, great musicians, if you observe them in the musical concert, different ragams, different everything, it comes out naturally from them, is it not? They don't have to think about it further. In a natural way, it comes flows from inside. Similarly, in the same way, that is their power. They have practiced it so much inside before. Now, without thinking further, there are so many ragas. Different ragams can come from their mouth very freely without thinking about it anymore. And to that extent, they have reached that state. In the same way, the self-realized personalities, acharyas, right? And who is already established in that state, such an acharya, when a disciple or shishya comes to him and asks him for help to realize the truth, or asking for brahmavidya, he says to him, he brings his realization inside him, he takes it out to give it to him. He is able to do that. You'll see that mentioned. We discussed this also in that book called Praudhanubhuti, which is on the website. The first verse itself, Praudhanubhuti, how that realization gets transmitted from the guru to the disciple, right? How is that guru? Guru is self-realized, and he is in that platform always in that platform, right? And for him, the world doesn't exist anymore. World is full of duality. It has no reality, actually. So therefore, in his realizations, the world is not real. He is also conscious that he doesn't have a body either. He has become free from the body altogether. Completely free from the body. And so the perception of this world has gone from him. The perception of the body has gone from him. Right? And so he is able to deliver the disciple with a precise realization, he is able to transmit that realization to the disciple of Atmatattvam, right? And when that happens, when the disciple hears that, we can only discuss the process now because none of us are competent for these things. We are nowhere near to that, so we don't have to get disturbed over that. But the process is like this, that if you ask a question, when it is given like that, is it simple or is it very complicated if you ask that question? If you are qualified, the result will be immediate. Immediate result will be there, provided we have developed the purity inside. Purity means what? Purity means that you have understood what Krishna is saying and you have accepted it. If you have done that, anyone for that matter, if we have accepted everything properly and it has been assimilated properly inside, naturally your swabhavam has changed. If you have accepted all these things, our current swabhavam will change. Current swabhavam is all belief in work, belief in the doing things, belief in the I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and I must have the results. This is all the impurities in the heart. All those things must leave through the knowledge what Krishna has given in the Bhagavad Gita. And if that has happened, then that person is ready for the knowledge. Otherwise not. You can't keep on life after life keep saying the same thing, but if there is no impact inside, so that's what he's saying here. That so that is why when your intelligence is purified from all the misgivings, misconceptions, what we have picked up from the world, which has completely spoiled our way, purity inside, in that situation, the knowledge of the self will come to him. This, when he transmits that knowledge, it will have its effect on the disciple. So, you can see Ekadasha Skandam, when we discussed that chapter, I mentioned that, that chapter is very important, that 10th chapter. Why is it important? Because it's a science of spiritual life. How spiritual transmission happens from the guru to disciple. Proper way, Vedic system is that, Vedic tradition is that. Acharyarani adhyasal andeva sitrarani tal sandhanam parvajanam vidyasandhi sukhavaha. With that realization happens to him straight away. There is nothing much to hear. What is missing is that the lack of realization. To have an acharya who is in the realized state and to have a disciple who has the necessary purity. Necessary purity means this, that Bhagavad Gita's knowledge is working inside him. Then he is ready for the self-realization. If Bhagavad Gita's knowledge is not there, then it is, you can't help, he is not ready for it then. So the knowledge has to have its effect inside. So, that is what he is saying here. And if we have other deficiencies in our mind, our behavior, in the sense that competition in the mind, I have to compete with other. This is all the impurities in the heart. In spiritual life, when you come, if you observe people, you will see this thing in them as well. They want to compete each other. I am better devotee than him. I know more than him. This kind of thinking. This is all the that malsara buddhi coming from inside. Yeah? And if that malsara buddhi is there, or another dosham is anyabhinivesham. Remember that? Anyabhinivesham, when Chitrakedu, if your mind is fixed in some other desire, some strong desires inside us, and then if you hear this knowledge, it won't work. That's what happened to Chitrakedu. I wanted a son, badly. And that thinking has completely overwhelmed him. So that's called anyabhinivesham. So if you have anyabhinivesham, even if Angiras Maharshi comes and speaks, it won't have any effect. So Angiras left him there and walked away. Similarly, malsara buddhi, to compete each other against it. Malsara buddhi is a dirty thing inside. To come in spiritual life, you don't compete with anyone. Spiritual life is your own very individual upliftment of spiritual self-realization, not really realizing the truth. What is the need to compete there? But competition, because of our conditioning in this world, that's how we lived in this world, competing each other all the time. In the school, in the college, in the university, in the workplace, everywhere, competing, competing, competing. And that competition has gone inside so much, it has become our second nature to compete with others. And we bring all that into spiritual life. And then we want perfection. It won't work. Competition doesn't help in that is why in the Bhagavadam, Nirmal Saranam Sadam, he said. Is it not? Why did he say like that? Because they know very well, Rishis know very well our nature. Conditioned people have this problem. Conditioning means this, this Malsara Buddhi. With that Malsara Buddhi, Krishna is saying there, Yam pravrajandam anubedam abeda krityam dvaivayino virahakadaram ajuhava putraididanmaidayataravobinedu tam sarvabodhadayam munimanagosmi. When glorifying his Shukra Brahmarshi, he is saying this. All these things are spoken in the Bhagavadam. Only thing, we are not able to take it seriously because we are like that due to our ragadvesham inside. And not able to see how troublesome all these things are, the impurities that has got inside, right? So, so such a person, if you have this anyabhinivesham or malsara buddhi, if these things are inside, then almanubhavam or self-realization or knowledge of the self will not happen. Will not happen. They are people, they will get, if they get something else, they will be satisfied. For example, some people want name and fame in this world. Some people want wealth. Some people want sense gratification. That's what they need. So, and they'll be satisfied with that. So, all these things, for example, name and fame, wealth, sense gratification, they come to us due to prarabdham. Through prarabdham, it comes to us, right? But if you don't get trapped into any of those things, if you don't fall into that by these things, name and fame, and wealth, and similarly, sense gratification, those things. You know, when you say sense gratification, what it covers? It covers everything, isn't it? All kinds of desires inside to enjoy in some way or the other. Sometimes we give it a spiritual coating to it. But you want sense gratification basically. And you think that you're convincing yourself that I am in spiritual life. You're not in spiritual life. You're gratifying your senses. And that kind of thing. People do all these. All these things in spiritual life happens. So if these three things, name and fame, and similarly, wealth, similarly sense gratification, all these things comes through prarabdham. If you have prarabdham to have it, you will have it in any way. But if you don't fall into, get trapped into all that, but if the goal is very clear, self-realization, what Krishna has spoken about, siddha-prajñatvam, in the second chapter, if that is the goal, and if you are focused on that, and if your eyes are only, if you only want that, then Krishna is saying, once if you hear from an acharya who is realized, it's enough. You'll get it straight away. You'll get it straight away. Because the way it happens is that in the shabdam or in the sound of an acharya who is realized, there is an effect called spodam. Spodam means that shabdam shaktena shakteha achindyad. That means different. If I say one thing and somebody else says something, same thing, and another realized soul says the same thing, the effect will be different. It depends on that shabdam coming from whom. That means shabdam normally comes from Antaryami, isn't it? Antaryami is present, that's why we are able to speak. Where is this shabdam originates from? That is what is called spodam. Spodam means that the source from where it is coming. The Antaryami inside us, everybody has Antaryami. So when it comes from a person in whom spiritually he is very weak, when it comes from him, it will have very little effect on others. But when it comes, the same knowledge comes from a realized soul, it will immediately happen like that. That is the power he is talking about, right? But that person should have reached that state prior to that. So, and his sound has got the capacity to remove that avaranam around us. When it comes from him, like we know, the knowledge is already inside, because Antaryami is inside. So all the knowledge is inside us. But then what is the problem? We are covered with what is called avaranam. The covering, ajnanam, avaranam, which is covering that. But that ajnanam or avaranam will not be penetrated by a sound from a normal person. But it will be penetrated when it comes from an acharya, from a realized soul, right? So what he is saying is that, in Krishna is saying, this verse is very important. He is saying here, when you hear this message, suppose you don't have any other desire in this world, no other goals in life, that means other plans making in this world, to enjoy life, to make money, to name and fame and this, that. So many things are vasanas is inside us, all of us, right? If it is not there, and you are in a perfect shanti state, And no other things is disturbing your intelligence, buddhi, if it is not influencing in buddhi in any other way. If it is not there, when you hear this, immediately it should have its effect. It should have its effect. That is the way Krishna is saying this. So you can understand that we have to get qualified for all these things, what Krishna is talking about. Qualification is a very important thing in spiritual life. It's not that, because in so many lifetimes, so much avidya we have collected, and that is the coverage inside us, about Andaryami. So, so there were many people who have realized the truth in this way. Means, in the sense that they, because that they were single-minded or one-pointed ahead, their goal was so single-pointed, they didn't want anything else in this life except realize the truth. Except realize the truth. And because they were so focused and they were so committed to that, they got liberated from this. And that is what, again, Krishna said, Vyavasayatmiya Buddhi. That is what's called Vyavasayatmiya Buddhi. To get that buddhi, that I don't need anything else in this world, no name, fame, no wealth, no sense gratification, nothing from this world, I don't need anything. If we have come to that kind state of mind, to such an extent when we are focused, only then this will happen. Yeah? And there are many people who have become like that throughout the history, right? All other things, sadhana, anushtanam, jnanam, tapas, all these things are for what? To prepare us for this, to get to this state. That's what it is. The different sadhanas what we do, or the different chanting the holy name, all kinds of austerities we perform, all those things, different anushtanam, they are all meant for preparing us to bring us to this state of inquiry. That I don't want anything in this world. I have no plans in this world. I am said goodbye to this world once for all. I need self-realization. To that extent, when from inside we are ready, to that extent Krishna says this realization will happen. That is the qualification for Sthira Prajnatum. Vyavasayalpaya Buddhi is qualification for Sthira Prajnatum. That is what he is saying here. So, in order to bring us to that state, to become pakvam. Pakvam means to prepare for that state, right? And one who is doing sadhana, and sadhana means there is a normal requirement, sadhana in bhakti mark, bhakti yogam, jnana yogam, everywhere, right? So, when he has got, that is why if you look at in the jnana margam, they will say, nitya nitya vastu vivekam, first qualification. Able to separate between temporary and the permanent. Iha amutra bhala bhoga viragam. Freedom from the desires in this world. No sense gratification, no attraction for anything. Neither in this world nor after death. None of things is important. Then shamam damam tidiksha uparadi shraddha samadhanam. Shamadamadi shal sambati. All those qualifications. And finally, above all, mumukshatvam. That I want to escape from this. That strong desire inside, mumukshatvam. These are the things that makes a person ready for to be a good disciple. So that is called sadhana chatushtayam, the four things. Nityanitya vastu vegam, ihamutra malaboga viragam, shamadamadi shal sambati, mumukshatvam. Four things, right? So, when a person become pakvam, or ready for that, right? Guru is talking to him about the truth, like Shukha Brahmashi spoke to Parikshit. Immediately, realization happened. Self-realization happened to Parikshit, is it not? That fifth chapter is only 13 verses. In all that, in the 13 verses, realization happened in the fifth verse itself. Aham Brahma Param Dhamma. Realization is already done. There is nothing much to study. It is just that readiness for that. So preparing ourselves ready for that message when it is spoken. And that is the same thing in the Bhagavatam. When we began, it says, Shushru Shubi Talchanal. Like, that's how it has to happen. Talchanal. Shushru Shubi Talchanal. The first verse itself, it says. Yeah. So, you can understand how spiritual transmission happens. Self-realization happens in this way. It's not that you study for a whole lifetime different books and keep everything in the head and the mind and then analyze it. No, that's not the process. Process is this, that what Krishna says here. So, immediately self-realization happens, or you can say bhakti has developed properly, bhakti has come. Bhakti means what? In Srimad Bhagavatam, bhakti means, the definition of bhakti is that alpa anubhavam, realization of the truth. That's called a bhakti, right? And that is why continuous experience of our realized state as Antaryami, that's called a bhakti. And therefore, alpa anusandhanam, that is bhakti. Sarupa anusandhanam is bhakti. And so sarupa anusandhanam bhakti ritya vidhiyade, Viveka Chudamani says so. So, when our vision goes into the world outside, we will forget this. This whole thing will be forgotten, right? And that is the reason in Vedantam they call this as Maya, because of that. Because the moment our attention goes into the world, we will forget all these things what we have been talking about, right? So, if our vision goes outside, it is wasted. It's gone, right? But the vision will go outside. It is not possible to stop it, right? According to one's prarabdham, it will go to that extent into the world outside. And that depends on the prarabdham. If the prarabdham of a person is very high, then you will see that person will be very busy in his work, wandering around all over the world, and occupy so many millions of things in his life, will not allow him to turn his attention any time towards Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. It will go like that. You can observe people, how they live in this world. They will get busy with all kinds of things in this world. That's their prarabdham. Then it will not allow you to turn your attention towards the Antaryami. But one thing we have to realize here, that there is nothing to be given or to be taken. It is just a question of this getting ready for it and to be focused on that. Jagrat, Sapnam, Sushupti, three states. All three of them are waste. All three of them are waste, right? Problem is that in Jagrat, in vacant state, you will be looking into the world outside all the time. What's going on in the world? That's important for us in the Jagrat. Our attention will be in the world outside, right? In other words, you'll be looking at different sense objects or sense gratification. That's what will be with us in the Jagrat, right? And then what we'll do? We'll do Vyavaharam. That's Jagrat is all about. Jagrat means looking into the world outside and doing Vyavaharam. That's Jagrat state, right? In Swapnam, what happens? Only you see the Swapnam, and therefore that Swapnam is the truth at that time, when you are going through the dream state, right? And in Sushupti, you didn't know anything, had a good sleep. That's all. So, from the self-realization point of view, all these three states are waste of time. Jagrat is waste, Swapnam is waste, Sushupti is also waste. Right? So, and realize the soul, he has gone beyond the three states. And in other words, even while he is taking food, he is situated in the self. And similarly, one who has realized the truth, he won't go to meditation classes and all that. He is always in the meditative state. You see? Meditation classes is all a part of this modern methods, right? So, if you observe him, you won't find any difference from with him and others, right? And there is some problem to be finished, prarabdham to be finished in his life also. So he'll be, body will be doing some work, whatever that is to be done, right? And at the same time, he will prepare his food, he will eat his food, he will sleep. All realized souls also will do that. And he may even do all the vyavaharam also in this world. And so, therefore, there won't be, if you look at them from outside, there won't see any difference in them. But what is his subhavam? That these normal people have that, I have to sleep, I have to eat, and do all these things, different kinds of things. And we have that sankalpam inside us, in our mind. I have so many plans in my head, I have to do this, I have to do that. Everybody has their own plans, right? That's called sankalpam. This sankalpam won't be there in him. This is the difference between a realized soul and an ordinary conditioned soul. Conditioned soul lives with a loads of sankalpam inside, in his mind. He's making plans all the time. And he has so many plans ahead for many years, what he wants to do, things like that. Realized person has no sankalpam inside. He has no sankalpam inside. He's free from that. That means mind is not working. Mind is the one which creates sankalpam. Right? So, so, the conditioned soul, what will happen is that when he eats a food, he falls into the food. In the sense that food overpowers him. The taste of the food, is it not? He gets affected by the food, what he is eating. It takes control of him. He has fallen into that. When he sleeps, he has fallen into the sleep. The sleep affects him so much that he is always trying to make, how I can get a good sleep. And he makes all arrangements for that. That means he has fallen into the sleep side of it. Similarly, when he does vyavaharam, he falls into vyavaharam also in the same way. So, pravaha padidam bhodam. In other words, he has fallen into that flow of the world. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending. These are all the flow in the world. And we have, that is the animal's life, and we have also fallen into that same flow, unable to come out of that, right? So, that is why, make this clear to us, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, when the Prahlada story was spoken, if you look at it, what does it say about Prahlada? If you look at the 7th canto, Prahlada was Asina Paryadan Ashnan Shayana Praviban Bruvan Nanu Sandatha Methani Govinda Parirambhida. This is that state he is talking about. Prahlada was like this always. Yeah. In other words, he was not trapped in the food what he is eating, he was not trapped in the sleep, he was not trapped in the three state modes of nature either. Asina Samvisham Asina Paryadan Ashnan Shayana Prabhupan Bruvan Nanu Sandatta Medhani Govinda Parirambhida. While he was sleeping, while he was walking, eating, lying down, sitting down, while talking all the time, because he was in the realized state, or he was situated in his real self, in the Puranic language it is said Govinda Parirambhida. That's all it is. But the message is this, in that verse is, that now when you read the verse, the problem is people start thinking, Govinda Parirambhida, that means he was always thinking about Krishna's form. That's not what it means. You see how misunderstanding comes. He was not thinking about the form, he was situated in the self. That's what actually it means, Govinda Parirambhida means. Thinking about form is not permanent. It will not stay. Realizing the self inside Antaryami, that is Govinda Parirambhita. You see how misunderstanding comes? The self, only then it makes sense that he has moved away from the body, mind, senses, everything, and he has realized who he is, that his real nature is Satta Chitta Anandam, like the Antaryami is, and he has become realized that Antaryami realization has happened to him, and that is Govinda Parirambhita. Not that he was looking at Krishna's photo every minute and remembering the photo like we do. Is it not? You see how problematic that is. In the Bhagavad Gita, there are some photos, right, to teach us this principle. What they have done, they have put one photo saying there, Vidya Brahmana, elephant, dog, dog eater, and in all of them they have shown Vishnu's murti form in that. If you read, that is actually wrong, it is, because for imagination purpose it's okay, but that is not what it is spoken in the verse. The what verse is saying is, a Brahmana, a Pandita, who is talking about, Pandita has realized the truth inside, and he, when he sees any other thing, if he is in relationship with anyone else, he is only seeing that Antaryami only present in everyone. Not like the photo what is shown inside the, in that picture. It's a big problem like this. Most of the people are thinking, oh, when I start looking at everybody, I start only seeing Vishnu inside with the four-handed form. This is how people misunderstand these things. Realization is not like that. Realization is like this, that what Prahlad is talking about. Asinan, Paryadan, Asnan, Shayana, Prabhupan, Bruvan, Nanu Sandattha, Medhani, Govinda, Parirambhita. He has experienced it inside. That means, in his awareness, in his bodham, consciousness, he has realized he is that truth, Antaryami inside. And whenever he looked outside, in others also, he is only seeing this only Antaryami present there. That's all what it means. So this Antaryami realization within, he seeing, getting that realization in everyone else. Ishvara Kridesha Arjuna Tishtadi. Brahmayam Sarvabhudani Yantrarudhani Maya. So basically what it is the realization you have inside, it gets extended to everybody else in this world. Yeah? So it is from that aspect it is spoken. Prahlada, now you see this, Prahlada didn't do any austerities or penances. This happened to him in the womb of the mother, this realization, right? In Srimad Bhagavatam, you see, Dhruva has performed penances, right? He has performed penances for 6 months, but Prahlada has not even done that, right? And in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna is talking about that, if you look at the second chapter, Krishna is saying there that the he asks this question, isn't it? Arjuna asks the question. Siddha prajnyasya ka bhasha samadhisthasya keshava siddhadhi kim prabhasheda kim asida vrajeda kim. That was Arjuna's question. Right? Arjuna's question. Siddha prajnyasya ka bhasha. Who is the realized person? Arjuna wants to know. How does he speak? Now, because our nature is like this, we want to find out how he is walking, how he is eating. Does he eat in a different way than like us? Or does he do something different than us? Krishna says no. That is why Arjuna is asking on our behalf. Arjuna is our representative here actually in Bhagavad Gita. Is our typical one of us, is Arjuna. So he is asking this question, and Krishna is getting tired of saying this to him. Keep repeating it again and again and again to make him understand that the realized state is different. Yeah. So Sthita Prajnasya Ka Bhasha, what is his language? Does he speak different, with a different accent or different way he says anything? Samadhisthasya Keshava Sthitadhi Kim Prabhasheda Kim Asita Vrajeda Kim. Arjuna wants to, all this kim, he wants to know. How does he speak? What is his language? How does he sit? How does he walk? What is his symptoms like that? Arjuna is not getting it still, right? So it is for people like Arjuna that kind of pictures also we have made, that Vishnu in everyone's heart, in the dog-eater, and people are reading that. If that's the problem with Bhagavad Gita, if you give all these books to people, they will read it and they'll start thinking, when will I, and I start looking for Krishna in everyone's heart, like the way it is shown in the photo, in the picture. So some devotee has drawn that, they have put it in the Bhagavad Gita, but that is far away from the reality. Reality is something different. Okay, for imagination purposes it helps to make us understand in a very basic level to think like that. Very basic level, that in everywhere you will see Krishna, but you won't be seeing that 400 form. If you want to see 400, because that's what it is shown there, that I'll be seeing a 400 somebody else inside you. Inside, because the picture is showing like that, isn't it? So that's what he is saying like that. So Krishna is answering that when he asked this question, right? What is the difference between ordinary people and a realized person, right? So, Madhusudana Saraswati, a famous Advaiti Vedantist, when he wrote his commentary on Shankara Bhashyam and Bhagavad Gita, he mentions this, he is saying that, what Arjuna is asking is about a Siddha Prajna like Prahlada. He wants to hear about him. That means what Arjuna is asking is about a Siddha Prajna who is like Prahlada, right? Because in Bhagavadam, the right person for this Siddha Prajnatvam is Prahlada. Is Prahlada, right? How did Prahlada get that Siddha Prajnatvam? It is this Siddha Prajnatvam what he is talking about it here. Right? Dhruva stood in one leg and performed penances. Is it not? 6 months he did that, right? Whereas Prahlada receives this knowledge in the womb of the mother. In Kayadu's womb, Prahlada was there. And that's when Srinarada Maharshi pulled Kayadu away from and took her into his ashramam, Narada Maharshi's ashramam, and he gave the knowledge to Kayadhu. But it didn't have any effect on Kayadhu. But it worked for Prahlada, who inside the womb Prahlada heard this. And it worked for Prahlada. What is it? What is that difference then? He's saying here that, so Narada Maharshi gave the Alpa Tattvam to Kayadhu, but it worked for Prahlada, right? In other words, while he was born, Prahlada was born, he was perfect. He came out from the womb perfect. Imagine that. Yeah. So why is it spoken like that? In other words, what he's saying is, nothing is so complicated. This Brahma Vidya or Atma Vidya is not a very big science compared to the rocket science and all the other technology and all that. Compared to that, this Brahma Vidya is much simpler, simple thing, right? But when you get it properly, if you got it, then the result will be that, will be like Prahlada. That's the way you have to understand this. We are thinking that, oh, Prahlada hasn't heard Bhagavad Gita from anywhere. You have to go to Veda Padashala, study many, many months and years, and then finally, one day it will happen. Just like we are used to studying things in the university and college, and after many years you get your degree and then you think that you have reached the goal. That's how in the university education is. Spiritual Brahma Vidya is not like that. Brahma Vidya can happen if you are ready for it. Prahlada was ready for that. That was the benefit he had. Just because he was ready, when Narada Maharshi spoke the truth, it worked straight away for him. Kayadhu was not ready, it didn't work for her. That's all it is. That's how it happened. Yeah. So, in other words, there is nothing as simple as Brahma Vidya, but at the same time, If you are not ready for it, it won't work. It won't have its effect, right? Just like in Jagrat state, Prahlada also was eating food, he was sleeping, and he did Vyavaharam. But at the same time, he was not doing anything. That was his situation, right? Even though he was eating, it was not affecting him. Like the way it affects us. Sleeping, same thing. While speaking, same thing. And while walking, Upanishad says like this, Upanishad's words about that, right? He sits in one place and he can be everywhere else. He lies down in one place and he is everywhere. When Upanishad talks these things, when people read it first time, they'll start thinking it all looks like some strange poetry, isn't it? You know, some verses in the Bhagavad Gita is also like that. Sarvada Panivadam Dal, Sarvada Oksha Shiromagam, Sarvada Shrudimal Loge, Sarva Mavruti Trishtadi. If you hear that verse, it will completely confuse people. They'll get confused because there is no understanding what that verse is saying, right? We are, because of our gross nature, and we are used to seeing through the eyes, hearing through the ear, everything. When Krishna says that word, Sarvada Panivadam Dal, Sarvada Oksha Shiromukham, Krishna is seeing everything, Krishna is hearing everything, his eyes are everywhere, his hands are everywhere. We are not able to understand that because we have no realization about it. Right? So what we are saying is that even the realized soul, when they are doing Vyavaharam, he is still established in the Swarupam. Yeah? He is still established in the Swarupam. Unlike others, we forget the Swarupam straight away when we do Vyavaharam, is it not? So, because that's a big problem. In Swarupam, to be situated in the platform of Swarupam and to do the Vyavaharam is very difficult. Right. So, so jnani or a realized person, you can say, devotee, whoever it may be, their shraddha is always in the swarupam, not in the swabhavam. And if you look at them and carefully observe their transactions in this world, you will see that they are not affected by the Vyavaharam, what is going on in this world. So all these great personalities, they have been spoken about that, Paramahamsas, Ramakrishna Paramahamsas and others like that, right? They don't have two different states like we have. We have three states, for example, Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupti. These personalities who have gone beyond these three states, they have only one state. And even if when they are doing Vyavaharam, they are still in that state, Samadhi state. They can do the Vyavaharam in that state, right? They don't have two states, like unlike us. We are either in these three states, or we are in the Vyavaharam state, when we are doing the Vyavaharam, right? So, or when we are doing, say, while chanting the holy name or doing the deity worship or anything at that time, a different state in our state of consciousness changes, right? And sometimes we are doing Vyavaharam, sometimes we are not doing Vyavaharam. So, to explain this state, Vidyaranya Swamiji in Panchadashi discusses this. What happens to a person who has reached that state? Yeah, how he conducts his Vyavaharam. That's more interesting. That in the villages, there are women, they fill the pots with water, earthen pots, and they'll keep one on their head, on top of that another one, on top of that another one, 3-4 pots, like that they keep, and then they dance together. They can do that. And you may see that, people will come think that, oh, this is fun. nice to watch them dancing with all this, without them falling off from there. How were they able to do that? He says, Vidyarana Swamiji took that as the best example to tell us how a realized soul conducts his business, conducts, does the vyavaharam. When a realized soul does the vyavaharam, what he does is, he says, it's exactly like this woman who does this. This is done for festivals and all that. In the villages they do that, yeah. So, what will happen at that time is, her attention is always on these pots. She will make sure that she doesn't make any wrong move, so the pots will fall from there. And you'll be amazed to see that one on top of the other, four, five, six pots, one over the other. And she's able to maintain that, and at the same time she's dancing. Dancing, she, the legs and the hands, everything, but attention is always there. She says, a self-realized soul is like that. Always the attention will be there. It will never move away from there. Vyavaharam will carry on in this world. And there are some beautiful verses about that in the Panchadashi about it, right? So, so when they do that dancing, right, she will look at others who are in front of her, right? And she will show different signs with the hand to them, because of part of the dancing, right? And sometimes people will give her money to, because she's, it's a performance for them, isn't it? Those who are seeing. So she'll give the money. And she will receive the money. But while doing all these things, different things, with the body, hands, legs, everything, Shraddha is there of these pots in the head in the same way. And probably it would have taken a long time for her to practice it, to come to this state, right? So, and after she has practiced it for a long time, some ladies who have done that for a long time, and then when they come to dance, for another instance, when they come to dance, they don't even have to think about it. It has become their nature like that. They don't have to even think about it. It will stay, their attention won't move away from that. Forcefully, they don't have to do it. It has become their very nature in that, right? So, Maulista Kumbha Parirambhida E Nadiva. That is a verse in the Vidyanand Swamiji says in the Panchadashi. You can see that. Sangeeta Tala Laya Nirtha Vashangatani Maulista Kumbha Parirambhida E Nadiva. So, he took that example, and there will be music also. So based on the music, she will dance. She is able to dance based on the music. But even while dancing, even though the music is, she is able to enjoy the music. But at the same time, this kumbham, or the pots on the head, never falls. Never falls. So, self-realized person, when he does vyavaharam in this world, it is like this. That he knows who he is. That is the beauty. He knows who he is. He is not identifying with the body. So, he is not identifying with the mind. He is not identifying with the senses or the world outside. He identifies with Antaryami. Therefore, when he conducts vyavaharam, there is no raga-dvesham in him. Oh, this deal, is he going to cheat me? Whereas when we do a deal, what is in our head? Is he going to rip me off? Is it not? Or if there is a special offer, we get attracted. All these are due to our conditioned mind. So, vyavaharam affects us in which way? Ragadvesham. Ragam will come if somebody gives me a special offer. Dvesham will come if somebody rips me off. Is it not? That's the way it is. Ragam comes when I get a good offer. Somebody gives me a profitable deal. Dvesham comes if somebody cheats me. So, Vyavaharam's nature is Ragadvesham. Will come from that. But, what he is saying, Vidyarani Swamiji is saying here is that, in the realized state, when he conducts Vyavaharam, he will not be trapped by the body or the mind. Right? because he considered that he does not become a victim of Maya, and for him there is nothing to be done. One who has reached that state, there is no sadhana required after that, right? And but there is another side to it, in the sense that body, mind, senses, that's all coming from Maya. You have disconnected from the self, right? From the Antaryami you are disconnected. And therefore, the body, mind, senses, buddhi, they are all coming from Maya. And so, and similarly, the ahangaram inside us, which we discussed yesterday, ahangaram is nothing but svabhava, right? And body, mind, senses, all those things have come from Maya. And then Antaryami inside is Chaitanyam. In between is this devil called Ahangaram. Called Ahangaram, right? So, and this Ahangaram actually belongs to Maya. Does not belong to Antaryami. When it is operating, it belongs to Maya. When it has gone completely, then there is only Antaryami and Shariram, Prakriti, Antaryami and the Prakriti, right? So that's what Krishna, that is the reason why Krishna made that very clear in the 7th chapter. Bhumira Bhanalo Vayu, Khammano Buddhi Revaja, Ahangara Idiyame, Bhina Prakriti, Ashtatha. Ashtatha Prakriti it is called. What does Ashtatha Prakriti include? All these things. Mind, five material elements. Then what else? Khammano Buddhi Revaja, Manasa Buddhi Ahangaram. Three things. Five material elements plus three things in the subtle body. Manasa Buddhi Ahangaram. So 5 plus 3, 8. Krishna says, that is my Ashtadha Prakriti. Ashtadha Prakriti coming from Maya. That is coming from Maya. So there itself, Krishna has made it very clear, Ahangaram is a part of Maya. Ahangaram is a part of Maya, right? So, if you say that this is all Maya, then what is that staying separate from that? Krishna says that Apara Prakriti. Apara Prakriti, whatever you may hear about and whatever it is happening in that Apara Prakriti, still, he mentioned, this is Vidyaranya Swamiji's explanation on that. Maulistam says, Pungara Shanga Vishayakshana Brahmava Loga Dishanam Na Jahati Yogi. That is his situation. In other words, even when he is doing Vavaharam, the Swarupa Smarana, Swarupa Smriti does not go away from him. We don't have Swarupa Smriti. We only know Swabhavam now. We are trapped in the Swabhavam. But Swarupa Smriti, when it comes, we are fixed in that. We don't get, it does not leave us, right? And that is not sadhana. And that's not dhyanam. It is not remembering with the mind, but it is actually awareness, bodham it is. You see the difference? It's not dhyanam, it is not sadhana, it is not remembering through the mind, but it is your bodham, awareness inside. Awareness inside. Just like a man, if he dress up like a woman, and he is playing a role in the drama, or in say, whatever performance, is doing, no matter how much he does the performance as a woman, even if he thinks he is a woman, still he is a man. It's not. Even if he dresses up like a woman and plays the role of a woman in a drama or something, he has to behave like a woman in the drama. So similarly, if he have to do all that, but still, he is still a man, right? And that prajna, bodham inside him, that he is a man, that does not go away from him. So, in the same way, this realized siddha prajna, even if he does any vyavaharam in this world, and whatever role he had to play in the vyavaharam, right, whatever dress he has to put on, Once who has realized the satyam, one who has realized the truth, he will not be able to move away from that realized state. It is not possible for him to fall back from his realized state, because he has got that state already. From that, he won't fall back into the body. So, that situation, right? And so, we also, for example, if we take our own life, we hear things, and then we start thinking, dreaming about it, when we hear certain things, right? And similarly, in our words, in our life, when we hear things, it may or may not happen. In our imagination and in the dream, things will come and that will go. But it may or may not happen. But for Jivan Muktas, for liberated people, if they see anything in their dream, it will happen to them. There is a difference there. Because Sopnam is controlled by Antaryami inside. So when they dream something, it is Antaryami gives them that realization. It is not like our dreaming. Their dreaming is different. Their dreaming is different, right? Within us, for example, when we realize our Swarupam, who we are, we will realize that. What will happen to us is, when we realize that, or actually we are liberated. See how Maya has put this on us, this body. We got trapped in this body, mind, the senses, everything. And now we are thinking that is there a way out from this? What Krishna is saying here is that when you realize the self, then you will know that you are never in bondage. You understand that? You see this body, this mind and all that, at the moment, because we are so much into ignorance, avidya, inside us, that we are strongly identifying with it. What Krishna is saying, going to say that now, that when you come to that state of realization, what will happen is, you will realize that this thing called body, mind, senses, buddhi, ahangaram and all, they are not real. They were never real even now. But we are not able to accept it now because of this problem here. So, then when you realize that, you will know that actually everybody is in a liberated state only. You see, this is a difficult thing. That's why Krishna in that 13th chapter in the Ekadasham said that, isn't it? Bandho mukta idi vyakhya gunato me navastuda. He says it is navastuda. Bandham moksham is not real, he is saying. That's the reason why he is saying that. Yeah? You know that verse, don't you? Bandho mukta idi vyakhya gunato me navastuda, he says. We are talking about liberation, going back home, back to Godhead and all that. Krishna is saying they are all not real, he says. Gunato me navastuda. Very, very, very bluntly he has put it there. Gunasya maya mulatvaj. Because of the three modes of nature, you got trapped into that. Name moksha no bandhanam. Actually, there is no bandham, there is no moksham either. This avidya is the whole problem. What is inside us here? So, a lot of things to think about in all these things. If you are not thinking, simply reading Bhagavatam verses day after day and telling some stories, it's all useless, waste of time. Nothing will happen from that. Whole life will go like this. You neither had a good material life nor you had a good spiritual life either. Spiritual life means able to understand what Krishna is saying here in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavadam. And because the nature of this self-realization is like this, that Krishna will, in that process, he is calling us Jandu, he is calling us Mudha and all that, because of our condition is like that. Then Mudhatvam in us. Mudhatvam is this. That identifying with the body and to think that I know everything. That is the greatest mudato in a person. Identifying with the body, mind, senses, everything. And to think that I know everything. And challenging everybody. That is called mudato. So, proper knowledge, the rishis have not given. All great acharyas have done this. Bhaja govindam, govindam, bhaja, mutamade, he says. Isn't it? Right on our face, he is calling, you are all mutas, he is saying. This is not getting into your head, this problem, point here. Yeah? So people ask this question, realize the soul, do they get dreams at that time, right? So the answer to that is, if you can get vacant state, you can get dream state also. Yeah? These three states, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti, in Ekadasha Skandam, Krishna talks about that. Yeah? Jagrat, Swapna, Sushupnim cha nivrutto gunavrutaya sachal vilakshano jiva sachityodha vinishchida Ekadasha Skandam. Krishna is saying there. So, this Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti in us is coming from these three modes of nature. You know why this verse is so important? Because this is our life. This chapter is our life in this world, isn't it? Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti is our life. And Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam is behind it. So, if you link those two things, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti and Sattu, Rajasa, Tamasa, you will understand this chapter better. We'll continue after the break.
चेदोदर्पणमर्जनं वौमहादावाग्निनिर्वापणं श्रेयकैतवचन्द्रियाविदरणं विद्यावधूजीवनम् आनन्दाम्बुदिवर्धनं प्रतिपदपूर्णामृतास्वादनं सर्वात्मासुभनं वरं विजयते श्रीकृष्णसङ्कीर्तनं नाम्नामकारि बहुधा निज सर्वशक्ति तत्रार्पिता नियमिता स्मरणेन काला एतादृशी तव कृपा भगवन् ममामि दुर्दैवमीदृशमिहाजनिनानुरागाः ತೃಣಾರವೀಶುನೀಚೇನ ತರೋರವೀ ಸಹಿಷ್ಣುನ ಅಮಾನಿರಾಮಾನದೇನ ಕೀರ್ತನೀಯ ಸದಾಹರಿ ನಧನಂ ನಜನಂ ನ ಸುಂದರೀಂ ಕವಿತಾಂ ವಾ ಜಗದೀಶ ಕಾಮಯೇ ಮಮ ಜನ್ಮಿನಿ ಜನ್ಮನೀಶ್ವರೀ ಭವದಾರ್ ಭಕ್ತಿರಹೈತುಕಿ ತ್ವಯಿ ಅಯಿ ನಂದನೂಜ ಕಿಂಕರಂ ಪತಿತಾಮಾಂ ಶಮೇ ಭವಾಂಬುಧೌ ಕೃಪಯಾ ತವ ಪಾದ ಪಂಕಜಸ್ಥಿತ ಧೂಳೀ ಸದೃಶಂ ವಿಚಿಂತಯ ನಯನಂ ಕಳರಶುಧಾರಯ ವದನಂ ಗದ್ಗದರುದ್ಧಯಾ ಗಿರಂ ಪುನರ್ನಿಜಿತಂ ಕದಾವಭೂತವಂ ನಾಮಗ್ರಹಣೇ ಭವಿಷ್ಯತಿ ಯುಗಾಯಿದಂ ನಿಮೇಷೇಣ ಚಕ್ಷುಷಾ ಪ್ರಾವಿಶಾಯಿದಂ ಶೂನ್ಯಾಯಿದಂ ಜಗತ್ಸರ್ವಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ವಿರಹೇಣ ಮೇ ಆಶ್ಲಿಷ್ಯ ವಾ ಪಾದರದಾಂ ಭಿನಷ್ಟು ಮಾಂ ಅದರ್ಶನಾಂ ಮರ್ಮಹದಾಂ ಕರೋತು ವಾ ಯಥಾ ತಥಾ ವಾ ವಿತಥಾ ದುಲಂಬಡೋ ಮಲ್ಪ್ರಾಣನಾಥಾಸ್ತು ನೈವ ನಾಪರ ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ
So this question, whether realize the souls, do they have Swapnam? That's the question, is it not? The answer is that if you can have Jagrat, you can have Swapnam as well. Right? And the thing is that when they are in Jagrat, in the vacant state, when they think they have Jagrat, but they are not experiencing Jagrat, even though Jagrat state they are in. They are not experiencing Jagrat. Similarly, in their Upadhi, Swapnam will be there, but it won't affect them. That's the difference. Yeah. And in experience, it is not there. That is the differences between a realized person and one who is in the going through the three states. Yeah. So, similarly, what about Sushupti? In Sushupti also, and also in the Jagrat, and also in the Swapnam, they are seeing everything like the way we are seeing things. They are seeing everything. Even though they are seeing it, they are not seeing it. That's how it's spoken about them like that. You know what that means, don't you? They are seeing it, but they are not seeing it. This is the way the rishis will say about it. In other words, pashyati na chakshuhu. In other words, because this realization is inside, that nothing to do with the body, nothing to do with the mind, nothing to do with the senses, nothing to do with the buddhi, upadhis have pulled out from them.
Upadhis have withdrawn from them. That's their state. Upadhis are not working, it's not in them anymore. Upadhis have come out from them, right? So that means not being affected. Like we are all now looking at things and our body is affected, mind is affected, senses are affected, everything is affected. But in there, because of this Hrit Anubhavam, in the Chit Anubhavam, Atma Anubhavam, Aham Aham, this awareness, Bodham inside, it does not get mixed up like the way it is for us now with the body, mind, the senses, everything. It doesn't get mixed up. You see, our awareness now, what we are experiencing, our real awareness of who we are, I am, that aham, aham, that awareness inside, bodham, somehow or the other, due to this identification with the body, mind, the senses and all that, it's polluted, it's mixed up very much, right? So, in their case, because mind, body, senses and all, has completely broken that connection in the bodham level, in the awareness level, therefore, this realization of the Antaryami is continuous for them. It's uninterrupted, in other words. Yeah? We can only explain it like that. You just have to think and think and think, and then you will get to start seeing it better. Antaryami will have to give you that knowledge, what that means, right? Because this is Anubhavam level it is. It is in the experience level, so it cannot be explained through words. Words cannot explain that. So this Anubhavam or awareness inside, it gets interrupted due to body, mind, senses and all that. We also have the Anubhavam inside, that Bodham is there. Every one of us have that, isn't it? That awareness, Bodham, consciousness in other words. But that gets interrupted by the body, by the mind, by the senses, by the world outside, everything. So, for them, that interruption won't be there from the effect of the body, mind and the senses and the world, right? So to understand it, that we are not much different from them. We also have that, bodham. But in our case, this body, mind, senses and all that continuously interfere with that. It's interfering in our bodham. And therefore, we get trapped in the body, mind and the senses and we think we are that. That's what's happening to us, right? So, and if you very carefully observe yourself, you can see this also within yourself, that all our experiences in this world is happening in the background of this awareness, bodham, right? And that requires a little bit subtle way of looking things. We have to build it up within. When you experience different things in this world, and if you start thinking, what is happening in me? And if you look to yourself, you'll start realizing that the bodham, awareness is steady, but different experiences are coming. Anger comes, goes. And similarly, frustration comes, goes. Depression comes, goes. Happiness comes, goes. But when all these things are coming and going, behind that, the real me is observing everything when it comes and goes. Sometimes what happens is, when anger comes, we become the anger. We got trapped in the anger because anger has taken over everything. At that time, we have lost that connection with the Swarupam. Swarupam has gone away from us, right? So behind everything, all these different experiences, there is like a curtain, or you can say the Adhishthanam. Adhishthanam means the foundation of all these things is that Tattvam, Antaryami. And that Nishchala Tattvam, as called in the Bhajagovindam prayers, Nishchala Tattve Jivan Mukti, says. So that Nishchala Tattvam, what he is saying here is that is everybody has that Nishchala Tattvam, right? And that Nishchala Tattvam is our Swarupam. Our Swarupam is that. And that is what me, you, everybody in that way. That means an awareness inside that that I am separate from all the other things. Whatever I am experiencing, I am separate from that, right? So, when this, and that bodham, awareness in me, is the same awareness in you also. That's one and the same thing, right? So, when this knowledge starts becoming more conscious of that, what's the symptom? If you look at it this way, that actually everybody is a jnani in this world, because they've all got all the things in them. Except that the realized souls, they don't see ajnanis in this world. They look at everyone and they are seeing they all have jnanam inside. That's the way they see it. Right? suppose they see that they are jnanis, that means that there is ajnanam in them. So when they have become realized, the way they will see other people also will be in the same way as they are in their, they are in that state. They can't see others, so he's ignorant and he does not understand. No. He is seeing that, because you see, this is the state of consciousness inside. How it moves from the, like, you remember in the Ekadasha Skandam, when Kavi Maharshi said that bhayam comes when dvitiyam comes. When second things exist, then you have fear. When there is no second thing, what should be fearful about? There is nothing to be fear about. Bhayam dvitiyal abhinivesha tasyal ishat avedasya vibharyayo smriti. That's what happens. Yeah. So if you understand that verse, you will understand what Krishna is saying here. That the nature of the nature of our awareness is such that the jnani, ajnani doesn't exist for them. Everyone is in the realized state for them. Yeah. So, there is a story in the Upanishads. A chandala talking Brahmavidya. Chandala talking about Brahma. Chandala means dog eaters, right? So, and in there, there's a story there. A little boy who comes to the guru to learn the knowledge of the soul. Knowledge of the soul. He is sent away. He was told, you go and you stay in the forest for some time with the cows, look after the cows and come back later. And there is this story. He was not given any instructions. And in his journey in the forest, when he was tending the cows, Upanishad says that a bull giving Brahmavidya to that child. And similarly, Agni giving Brahmavidya to that child. Similarly, one of this crane, the birds, giving Brahmavidya to the child, right? So, where did these instructions come to him? So, we are thinking that Brahmavidya means it's only words that you have to speak in a particular way and that's how Brahmavidya happens. No, Brahmavidya is not like that. Like you can see in the Bhagavadam, at the last minute in the 12th canto, before just self-realization happened, a few verses he spoke. Who? Our Shobhramarshi, right? And by the 5th or 6th verse he was realized. So that means, it's not the language what it has spoken has done the job. It is just transmission happened from Shobhramarshi to Parikshit. But all happened within that 4 or 5 verses. But it is not the meaning of the verse that has done the job. It is the transmission of the message that happened from Antaryami to Antaryami. That's what has done the job. We will misunderstand these things, you see. We will think that Shukabrahmarshi spoke those words and Parikshit thought about it, analyzed it, and then he came to the conclusion, I am not this body. No. That is not how it happens. Shukabrahmarshi is saying to him that all the things what he said in that first 5 verses, and then suddenly Parikshit is realizing that transmission has happened of Brahmavidya, has happened by then. and it is experiencing inside. Straight away it is started experiencing inside. Straight away it happened. The reason why it happened was Parikshit was ready for that. In other words, that Vyavasayalpiya Buddhi was 100% in him. So therefore, he was ready for Sthita Prajnatvam, what Bhagavad Gita says. That is Sthita Prajnatvam, Aham Brahmasmi stage. We are calling by different names, that's all it is. Sometimes you will say Aham Brahmasmi, sometimes you will say Tatvamasi. All these are just words, that's all. In realization level, when you look at it, they are all means they are disconnected from the body. The body is switched off. They are in the platform of the soul. That's all it means, right? So, he is saying there also the same thing, that this self-realization or the knowledge of the self, this boy who has gone into the forest, he learned that from the bull and from the bird and from the fire and different elements in the material elements, right? So, and where did these instructions come to him? Who knows? Because this Antaryami is present in everyone. It is in the Agni, fire. It's in the bull. It's in the crane, the bird also. So, similarly it is inside us. But in ordinary people like us, this mind will put us into difficulty because of the presence of the mind. That realization, we are not able to access it inside, right? So, we are also told we are Brahman, isn't it? We are told we are Brahman. And we think, what is that? When do I become Brahman then? There is no question of becoming Brahman. You are already Brahman. That is the important thing, right? So Brahmajnanam, Brahmajnanam, that knowledge, in the Jnana Margam, it comes through Vicharam. Vicharam means through thought process, contemplation, continuously, contemplation, right? But Anubhavam, experience of that, everyone has without their knowledge. That is that feeling of existence, what we feel, right? So, because of this upadhi in us, mind, body, senses, everything, right? Because of that, we are unable to experience that at the moment because of these things like that. Yeah? You know what we were discussing before? That we have the depth of avidya in us, just imagine this, that we are trying to become happy through the body, through the mind, through the senses, and through the world, everything, right? And we are trying to fix this body, fix the mind, whenever there is problem with the body, mind, and things like that, right? When you are trying to do that, you are working in the opposite direction. Krishna's point is, as long as you have this body, mind, senses and all, you are in trouble. This is Krishna's point, right? The fact that you have a body, mind and senses means that Bhagavad Gita's knowledge has not gone in. That's a fact. Because of all these things only, because all these things are necessary for doing karma. Which one? Mind, body, senses and all that. When you have them, what does that mean? It means that vasanas are inside us. Because the vasanas are inside, the propensity for doing karma is very strong inside us. And that means I have faith in karma. If I have faith in karma, that means I have not understood Bhagavad Gita. You got to go think deeper and deeper into it, and you will start seeing a lot of things which is totally against your beliefs and faiths. I am believing a lot all this life, throughout life, all of us do the same thing. I have a lot of faith in my ability, power to do things, and I feel I'm strong enough to do these things, and all these kinds of false notions what we have is coming from this faith in karma.
And this faith in karmam, Krishna says, first get rid of that from inside. That your karmam is not your nature even. It is not in you. You have taken it because of your vasanas you have created. So the point here is that when Krishna is saying this, you got to be very careful about this. Krishna is saying, jnananam, jnanam uttamam. He has used that word there, right? So, in them, when they have come to that realized state, they are not living like us the way we are living, through the body, mind and the senses, right? And that one who does not know this, he will feel all the sufferings of this world. All the sufferings of this world. We carry all the miseries of this world inside us. Is it not? War happens. The suffering is inside. Earthquake happens. Suffering is inside. Diseases comes. The suffering is inside. Why is that? Because of this only. That we have mistakenly fallen into this trap of the body, mind, senses, everything. So, in order to become free from this distress, that is why when you keep on going and saying to Krishna, I've got this problem, that problem, he is not listening to you. He says, you got problem, that's your prarabdham, what can I do about it? That's his silent answer. He won't say it to you, but you are supposed to understand it that way. When Krishna is not relieving all our distresses, when we complain about so many things in these problems of this world, Krishna silently is telling us that you got your prarabdham to go through, which you have created yourself. So give time, it will go its own way and you will become free from that. Yeah. So in order to understand this, that this distress that comes, to get rid of that, Krishna is saying that jnananam jnanam uttamam. Jnananam jnanam uttamam. In other words, this knowledge is the greatest knowledge, and pravakshati prakarshena vakyahi means that you know what Krishna is saying? What he is saying here is that pravakshena parambhuya pravakshyami. Look at the words, very carefully chosen words. Parambhuya pravakshyami jnananam jnanam uttamam. In other words, he is saying there that prakarshena vakshyami means that me, as that knowledge in the heart, I will speak to you. As the knowledge, I will speak to you, not based on a bodily level. That's what he is saying here. That I will, in that state, I will speak to you. That's what he is saying. That's what that word means. Yeah, parambhuya pravakshyami. Pravakshyami means that I will speak to you from that state of realization. From that state of realization. Yeah. Then he said after that, yet yatva munaya sarve param siddhimito gadaha. The proper point is, he says that this yajnatva munaya sarve, great rishis, with this knowledge, what I'm going to talk to you about, he said, that great rishis have taken this knowledge, param siddhimito gadaha, they have realized the truth. That is how potent these verses are. Again, we will do the same thing, we'll hear with the mind, and intellectually we will analyze it, and we will think, oh, it's not working for me. And I leave it like that. So that's no good. Bhagavad Gita is no use to us then. If it is like that, Bhagavad Gita is of no use. What's the point? Bhagavad Gita is like any other book then. Isn't it? So the thing is, Krishna says that this knowledge, if it is affecting you, and you are able to understand the gravity of this knowledge, what he is going to speak, he says that I'll speak to you from that state, Krishna says. From that state, I'll speak to you, to Arjuna, he says. Parambhuya pravakshyami jnananam jnanam uttamam. This first verse itself is, yajnatva munaya sarve. After hearing this, yajnatva, jnatva means after realizing that, not hearing, after realizing that, munaya sarve, all the great rishis, param siddhimato gadaha. They have realized the truth. So that is how this science is spoken here. Yeah. So, in other words, what he is saying is, great rishis, while they were in their body here, they have realized it within the body, and they lived in this world without a body, even though the body was there. Only if the body is affecting me, I can say that I am affected by the body. Great rishis, Krishna is saying, great rishis in this world, with this knowledge, they lived in this world and realized this truth, and the end result was they lived in this world without a body. Krishna is very much want to convey to, because without the body means you are not suffering anymore. Suffering means body is there. Body means suffering. Without the body, that means it's not the physical departure of the body. That's what he's talking about. The connection with the body is broken. Remember, what means what? Chijjada Grandhi has broken. Means what? Ahangaram has gone. Means what? Swabhavam has gone. Only Swarupam is left. That's what it means. It's all spoken in different ways. That's all it is. It means Ahangaram has gone, which means Sarvadharman Parityaja has happened. Sharanagati has happened to him. You see? It's not, I surrender, I lifted both my hands and I have surrendered to Krishna in front of the deity. I have now surrendered. You can't say like that. Surrender has to happen this way. Like the way Krishna is expecting that. Sarvadharman Parityaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja is a very high state of realization it is. That is Kripa Sakshatkaram it is. Kripa it is. Krishna's mercy that is. He has, what that means is, the last thing inside us, which is ego, the ahangaram, he has completely taken it out. Chijjada Grandhi has completely gone. Swabhavam has completely gone. And that's only what remains is Sandaryami inside. The other part, like body, mind, senses and all, they are separated from you. Chijjada Grandhi has gone. Ahangaram has completely gone away from them. So that is what he is saying here, that they have, that's when we call it as videhi. Videhi means you are living in this world in a body, but you are not connected with your own body. Videha Kaivalyam it's called. Videha Kaivalyam means it's a state of realized state in this world, while living in this world, but at the same time, you are not connected to your body. Body is doing its things, you are totally in a different state, in the self-realized state, right? So even when the body was there, you have become free from the body, right? You will see in Kapila Maharshi said this, Krishna said this in Ekadasham. Famous verses, Deham Janashwaram Avasthidam Uttidam Va. Remember that famous verses here? Yeah? Kapila Maharshi says to Devahudi, Deham Janashwaram Avasthidam Uttidam Va. Agamal Swarupam. It's a 2-3 verses there. You can see the same verses repeated in Kapilam, same verses repeated in Ekadasham also. Those verses, right? So that person, when the body falls away, when the death happens to the body, he won't even be conscious of that. See the differences between us and them. When we die, what happens? All our friends and relatives will be standing around, and we say them, chant the holy name so that you go back to Godhead, and they want to give us a good send-off, isn't it? We are thinking, if I can go with the body, it's much better. With this body, if I can get there. I don't want to change the body, but I can change the clothes and all that, but not the body. But here, Kapila Maharshi is saying there, that even when the body was there, we discussed those verses a lot before, but I just mentioned that again, those verses. Deham chadam najaramastidam uthidam va siddho vipashyati yatho agamal swarupam devadubedamada devavashad abedam vaso yatha parigridam madhira madham dha deho bi devavashagam khalu karmayaval స్వారంభగం ప్రతి సమీక్షతమే వసాసో స్తం సప్రపంచం అధిరూఢ సమాధి యోగం స్వప్నం పునర్నభజతే ప్రతి బుద్ధ వస్తు. దోస్ టు వర్సెస్ దే ఆర్ ఇంపార్టెంట్. And Kapila Maharshi thought the best comparison is a person who is man coming back from the pub. When he leaves the pub, if you go and stand there, you can see sometimes it happens. Very rarely though, some clothes will be lying there in the green. And sometimes his hats are lying there. Sometimes the shawl is lying there. And he is not conscious that those things he has lost it. He says that is how his body will live. With such an ease, the body will leave him. Whereas we will leave the body with what? Morphine in the body so that we don't feel the pain. And whatever other things are there to leave the body, that preparation for the death, right? It's so different than the way. And these same two verses, as in the Agadisham, Krishna has spoken again. So that shows that is how they live in this world. The body connection has broken completely, right? So, but this state has come to them while they are living in this world, right? And because of that, they have come to that state even while living in this world, whether already the connection is broken. So when the body falls off, goes away, they are not even conscious of that the body has left them. Right? Yeah. it is a mundane comparison what is given there, but it is a good comparison though, to make us understand how it works, right? And Vaso Yadam Parigrado Madhira Madhanda, that line. Vaso Yada Parigrado Madhira Madhanda. One who has gone enough inside, clothes goes, anything goes, doesn't matter. Total freedom from that. He is also looking for freedom. But that is why this in comparison is interesting. The man who goes for this, he also wants freedom. That's why he goes for it. Right? So he gets his freedom in one way. And what Kapila Maharshi is saying, the liberated soul also gets his freedom, but in a different way. Right? It is in the 13th chapter in the 11th canto, and also in the 28th chapter in the 3rd canto. Same words as repeated. Right? Another example to make, you see, only through examples you can convey this realization, right? He says, when they have on Govardhana Puja day, you worship the cows, don't you? So what they do in Goshala, if you see, they will make all the cows to stand, and then you're worshipping the cow, you bring the Aradi plate, and incense and all the other paraphernalia for the Aarti, right? And then you put a garland on all the cows. You put a garland. You're worshipping the cow. So you're putting a garland on all of them. Right? And then cow doesn't know that you're worshipping her. You are doing it because of your respect for the cow. But cow is concerned. It doesn't know what this garland is all about. That you are offering respect to the cow through the garland. Cow doesn't know that. So what does the cow do? After you have finished the worship, cow will wander around with this garland on its neck all the time. He is not conscious of that garland. Is it not? I think you understand what I'm saying. You have done that out of your respect for the cows, your way of offering the respect to the cow. But for the cow, what does cow understand about the garland? If you take the garland out and put it, you will find, try, if he can eat it, he will try to eat that. That's how cows are, right? So, similarly, and little by little the flowers will drop from the garland after some time, right? And still the rope which was tying the garland together, it will be still hanging around at the neck of the cow, right? Similarly, you're not going to replace the garland, it's only once a year you do this. So, in the same way, when the realized soul, when he realizes the truth, what happens to him? This body, like that garland, moves away from him. In other words, so many things are happening to the body, it's not affecting him anymore, because the connection is broken. Connection is broken, right? And he will also get old. His body will get old. His body will get sick. And he will also feel hunger, thirst, everything. But he won't be affected by that. This is the state of self-realization. He won't be affected by that. You can only imagine that things now. Imagine such a good state that you are not affected by the body. Yeah. So, but even though he is realized inside, the body will show its nature. Means old age, disease, death, all these things come to the body. That is not going to go away. That will always happen, right? But that ahankaram inside, which was identifying with the body, that's not there anymore. That's gone. That means the connection is broken. I mentioned before, ahankaram is the link between the chit and the jada. That's why it's called a chijara grandhi, right? So, and because this connection with the body is broken, and you will see if you ask that person who is in that realized state, sometimes according to that prarabdham is for that body, right? So sometimes that body may look, even though it's only 60, 70 years, it may look like 100-year-old. The body may look like that. But that does not mean that it is bothering him. It is not affecting him, right? So, that depends on the person, who it is, right? Depends on the person and his prarabdham. So, body, physical appearance, body and everything will change according to prarabdham. Antaryami inside realization will remain permanent, untouched by the changes in the world, right? So, even if the body breaks down and become useless and goes away, and similarly, whether it stays or goes away, because he is established in the truth, in the awareness, in bodham, therefore it is not affecting him. It is not affecting him. And it is not a state of unconsciousness, right? But it is like this tree in front of a house. One day the tree fell off right? In the same way, body is there, but one day body drops off. Old age comes. Everything you will notice in him exactly like in anybody else. Old age coming, diseases coming, everything. But he is not affected by anything like that. And the body drops away one day, drops off, right? So, and you can also observe at that time, when all these things are happening, there is no change inside him. He is able to remain in that sthita prajna state. That is sthita prajnatvam, right? So, because inside that perfection has come, realization has come. And birth, death, growth, all these six things, that is the reason why Prahlada spoke that, right? Those six changes, what happens to the body, and the 12 things happens to the soul, about the soul. You remember that clear explanation of body and the soul in the 7th canto. Why did he say that? If you study that two verses, you will know that everything related to the soul is permanent. Everything related to the body is temporary. In order to make us understand that, those two verses in the 7th canto. Everything related to the body is temporary, changing, changing, changing. And everything related to the soul is permanent. Atma, Nityam, Egam, Shuddham, Avyayam. All the definitions of the soul is permanent. It is permanent in that. No change at all. That is the beauty of the soul. So to understand that, that's why these things, Shuka Brahmarshi mentioned this in Bhagavatam in different places. To wake us up, that is the state to be. Which one? Swarupam. Swarupam is that. not that svabhava. Whereas the other things, all what spoken about the body, is all svabhava, all related to svabhava, temporary growth, and sometimes it stays for some time, offsprings comes from that, destruction comes, decay, death. This is all temporary things happens to that part called the body. Whereas the soul, which is eternal, egam, nityam, shuddham, avyayam, all kinds of qualities related, everything permanent. So that temporary nature and the permanent nature is talking about there in those verses, right? So, all these things, this is all verbal explanation to that state here. And, but for us, we are talking like this. In a verbal way, we are saying this. For a sthita prajna, this is already, he is in that state. Yeah? In that way, and he has already reached, they have already reached that state. Krishna is saying that. Sthita prajnas, they have already reached that state. They have already reached that state, right? And he also said that in Bharatabhumi, so many rishis in the past have taken this knowledge and param siddhim tadaha, says, isn't it? Yeah. Param siddhim ito gataha. Great, great rishis have realized this knowledge and they have attained that state. Yeah. Yeah. So, to know that this is not a magic thing. Sometimes you may think, how is that magic done, right? What Maya is doing is the magic. With our body, mind, senses and the world, that is the magic. This is not magic. This is real. This is real. Which one? Self-realization. It's real, right? Everything you see outside is magic. So you know what I'm saying, that spiritual life, Adhyalpa Brahmavidya, is not magic. World is magic. Body is magic. Mind is magic. Intelligence is magic. Senses are magic. And everything related to all this is all magic only. Maya's game it is. And you, according to your prarabdham, you will go through it, whichever way it is, right? Whereas this knowledge, what Krishna is saying here, what he said, this was the words, yajñātvā munaya sarve parām siddhimido gadāha. He says, they have attained perfection. There is no magic in that. Perfection it is. Perfect stage, perfect realization, right? So, the problem is that sometimes when these subjects are discussed, people make notes out of it. Notes won't help. This has to happen within. If it happens, if you get that realization, good fortune. If you didn't get it, we'll have to keep hearing again and again and again till that, right? So, if you note it down and write it down, or listening from cassette, CDs and all that, what will happen is your brain will start working. Brain will come to it, right? Brain, you are thinking that if the brain takes it, then you will remember it, you are thinking. This is for, not for the brain, not for remembering, right? And if you start remembering it, that is a mistake. That is the mistake, right? And it won't become yours then. You know that this thing called memory is not your permanent instrument. Memory will go, when before death memory will go. Everything will go, already it's going, but it will go more and more and more when you get older and older. So, can you trust the memory then? So, if this knowledge has gone into memory, that means it's wasted, useless. It's useless. If it has gone into memory, it's useless. Because it won't help you. Because like everything else in the memory, this will also go along with that. It's like the, rather you may keep it in the hard disk than keep it in your memory. So this knowledge, that is why I'm saying this verse, Krishna is trying to tell us, jnanam jnanam uttamam.
This knowledge, if it has to work, it has to go straight inside to the heart, and Antaryami inside has to reveal to you. Antaryami is the eye for that. In other words, if Antaryami gives you the experience, you got it. If not, no. I can only explain like that because with my understanding only I can say these things, what I understood and heard from others. But realized souls, if you hear from them, and if you are ready for it, the result is immediate. Provided you hear from a realized soul, provided you are qualified for that, both are necessary. And then that case, the result is instantaneous. On the spot, it will happen. It doesn't have to wait for a long time. Right? If you start thinking that through the memory and the brain and making notes and downloading from the web and all, no, this is not for that. Without all these things, the rishis realized as. But that is why it is this verse is important, right? Yeah. And if it has become your own, then you don't have to keep it in your memory anymore. Isn't it? Why do you have to keep it in memory? Because you are not able to, it has not become yours. That is why it goes into memory. That's what we normally do, isn't it? Computer also. You download PDF file and then send it to memory. And then you know it's somewhere there. When you want it, you can go back and click and find out where it is. It is something like that, what goes into memory. But this knowledge, you can't put it into memory. If you put it into memory, it's useless, wasted. Useless, right? Whereas, this one, this knowledge, Krishna is saying, that's what this verse is. Yajñātvā munayah sarve param siddhim ido gadāha. In other words, this knowledge is gone to the right place. If it has gone to the right place, it will come up when you need it. It will come out when you need it. When do you need it? At the time of death, particularly. And you also need it other times also. Whenever, that means, it is always available and it will show its power absolutely when you need it, really. Particularly at the time of death. Able to leave this world with that realization inside, then body is not anymore, death is not anymore a issue for us, right? So, you will hear a lot of, if you look at the great personalities who have come in this tradition, right? And if you observe their life in this world, what has been written about them, and then you will notice the difference between ordinary people and the realized souls, right? Tyagaraja Swamiji, when he recited Ramachandra, because the realization was so deeper inside, when he sang glorifying Ramachandra, Ramachandra is there in him, in front of him, right, listening to it. So, when songs were coming out from him, without any, he didn't have such an education as well. But that realization was so deep inside, when he sang the songs in glorification of Ramachandra, it was flowing freely from inside, and that comes from the source, right? So, so that is how that relationship is between Antaryami and the person, right? And whereas other musicians, if you look at, you know, normal children who goes to study music, what do? They have to study the music, and they have to years and years of practice, years and years of practice. But everyone doesn't become like a Tyagaraja. They all study music, they do the performance, and they enjoy the music, but at the same time, music coming from realization, like he had, is different. But, and how do we know that? Because when Tyagaraja recites, sang the songs, what the response came from Ramachandra, that doesn't happen to everybody who are singing the song. Same Tyagaraja songs they are singing, but the effect is not there. The same impact
is not there, right? So that is what he is saying here. If the Shraddha falls into self-realization, and if it has become our main goal in life, then whatever achievements are there in this world, all those things will leave you. You won't have any importance for that anymore, right? Because what one has to remember is this, that anything that comes to you will leave you. That's the rule, right? Anything comes in life, it will go. Body has come, body will go, right? And similarly, you look at the body also, the teeth has come one day and teeth will go one day. Similarly, the hair, all gone now. And one time it was full and that's all. It's all come and it's all gone, right? And today I'm able to walk, tomorrow I know that will stop. I won't be able to walk. It will be finished, right? And today I can see things, tomorrow the eyes won't be able to see things. So I'll have to ask somebody else, what is it? Today I can hear, tomorrow that will also go, right? And today I can speak, tomorrow the power to speak will also leave us, right? In the same way, body has come, body will go. Similarly, the mind, if you look at the mind, now thoughts are coming one after the other, different types of thoughts. Not like the same way when it was earlier. So at different stages in life, thought waves are coming, thought waves are going, right? So chittavritti, they are called chittavritti. Chittavritti comes and chittavritti goes away, right? And in the same way, in the name of knowledge, if you have collected things in the form of books, CDs, cassettes, computer, websites and all, they will also go. They will also go. They also won't help you at the end. That's why I'm saying this knowledge is for realization only. Till you get the realization, hold on to it. That's the only way you can work with it. Till you get it, hold on to it. As much as possible, embrace it to the maximum possible. Means through mananam, nidhyasanam, in all these processes. That is the process to acquire this knowledge. Not through the process of books and books and all there simply to guide you into that direction. That's all it is. Books, CDs, cassettes and all that. Right? So, having said that, the reason for that, why it is like that is, the vastu what you want, what you are looking for, you already got it inside. Antaryami is inside, right? And he is not going to go away like that. He is there, and because of that you are doing all these things. That's a relationship at the moment. Because he is inside us, you are doing all these kind of things, right? So the Shraddha or our attention should fall on Antaryami, not anywhere else, right? And that Shraddha, if it falls on Antaryami, Antaryami doesn't come and go, unlike the body, mind, senses and all. Body, mind, senses and all come and go. You can't have a permanent relationship with them. So foolishly, we try to make a strong relationship with the body and we fail at the end. Krishna is saying to us, know you are what you are actually, and break this temporary connection with all these temporary things and come to a permanent arrangement with a permanent thing, and that's Antaryami. That's what this first verse is talking about. Jnanam, he says, I know the verse is few words only, but if you look at that verse, Param Bhuya Pravakshyami, otherwise Krishna won't speak like this. Jnananam Jnanam Uttamam Yat Jnatva Munaya Sarve Param Siddhimito Gadaha Param Siddhimito Gadaha. If this knowledge has gone in, what is the end result? Param Siddhimito Gataha. He becomes perfect. Perfect means what? No more further inquiry for anything else. Doesn't want to know anything anymore. Because he's got the final thing. What is the ultimate thing? He has got it. Right? So, that's what this is about.
unfortunately, in our present state, what has happened is we have lost ourselves. That's where we are now, in this body. We have lost ourselves. The real we, real us, is inside, and we have lost him. And we got this body, and we are fiddling with this body and the mind and the senses, and that is material life. And that is why Krishna is so strongly telling us that if you go into 5th chapter, he says, Ihaiva jideya sargam, he says. If you have got this knowledge inside, you have won over the creation, he's saying. There's a verse there. You have won over the creation. That means creation is not affecting you anymore. You have come out of the creation. Ihaiva de jida sargam. Sarga means creation. You have won over the creation if you have got this knowledge inside. So, we'll continue next Saturday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Srila Prabhupada ki.